If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Whatever you got, I'll eat it, snort it, or ride it, baby.
Now that's not Nancy Sinatra on that cut. A lady by the name of Nina Lazell.
I'm sorry, who?
And that was from a movie that they did in Sweden somewhere.
Nobody cares.
It's called Hey Cowboy, and Lee Hazelwood, and, you know, he passed away.
I cannot remember a time before you started telling that story.
And we send our regrets to him and his family, and
so,
you know, everyone survives and gets by with it.
You have no brain. What you think means nothing. Am I clear?
That's common knowledge to guys who taught it.
He was a great songwriter and singer.
It's as if I'm having a nightmare and waiting for someone to wake me up.
And now.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you on K-Rock.
Our feature presentation.
It's not Monday at all, really.
No.
Well, that's Rodney for you.
Thank you, Rodney. It's 5:30. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 5th of Double December.
What knockers?
I was going to say Miss Double December.
Yeah. So that would be fine.
Said that so many times.
I miss Miss Double December, by the way. I'm looking forward to seeing her on Saturday.
You mean the girl that we crowned this past Friday night? Friday morning?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Miss Double December. Isn't that what she's called? Yeah.
If she survived her weekend, yeah.
She survived Vegas.
Yeah.
That video up at krock.com, by the way, of Mike checking to see if her boobs were real. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty great for Mike, too.
she's a goer. I like that about a woman.
I like how you went home and said, honey, it's my job.
Yeah.
I had to do it. Jenny, I was the most qualified.
My wife, Jenny, was listening when that happened.
Oh, good.
And she wasn't too upset, but we watched the video when we got, it's like, really, really squeezing on those, aren't you? You're giving them all you got.
Well, I think the visual would be a little more disturbing than just hearing it on the air.
Well, of course she understands, though, that you needed to make an accurate assessment of what was going on.
Thorough.
I said, honey, you know how fake boobs are. How am I supposed to check by just grazing my hand over them? I got to really dig deep. I got to get the real deal to prime time.
I think you were being responsible for the show. You went in there and did the job that we asked you to do.
Even though clearly you've never been interested in women. So that was, you should have said.
Well, I think that's why she felt comfortable letting me touch her boobs.
Right. Yeah, you let the gay guy touch,
like her gaydar exploded. It actually, the mercury just went through the top of the gaydar.
Yeah, I don't.
I just
that.
Love that she said, oh, you don't think they're real? Well, come over here and check them out. That's my kind of woman right there. So anyway, she'll be there on Saturday night. I'm very excited about that. By the way, saw another survey. There's been a bunch of them this year. I don't know if this is a bigger problem than ever before or if more people are just doing the survey, but they were talking about holiday office parties and the trouble that people get in.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a new survey online at party411.com, and they said that a third admitted that they have kissed or made out with a colleague at a holiday party, holiday office party. 1 in 5 ended up being rude to their boss.
Ooh.
Sure.
One quarter of the respondents got sick after drinking too much.
Wow.
1 in 5 flashed part of their anatomy at a party.
Sure.
4% have photocopied a body part at a holiday office party.
You know what's funny? Who hasn't done that?
You know what's funny is we have people to fill in every one of those categories.
We have more than that.
We have more than just the one in. We're that group that does that every single time.
Does all of it, right? Nearly half got way too close while dancing. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But it's what's interesting to me is that MSNBC had an article on parties and how to handle them at the holidays. And it's all the good advice about, not drinking and dressing conservatively and remembering that you are still at a work function and stuff like that. What do you think the number one inappropriate behavior is? Number one, according to MSNBC experts.
Number one inappropriate behavior at Christmas.
The biggest screw up, they say.
Mm. Offering Coke to the wrong person
is skipping out on the party.
You mean
demonstrating
not going at all or leaving
disrespect?
Early?
Yes, not going at all. Oh. Demonstrating disrespect for your company, your supervisors, and your colleagues.
Wow, I haven't been number to a one. Christmas party in quite a few years.
All right. I take umbrage with that. Is it disrespectful to the morning show, which generates, you know, the lion's share of the profit for your radio station, to schedule your holiday party in the middle of the week, late at night, so that none of us can go?
Well, it's not a great idea, but you'll go to a show during the week.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
That's fun.
Okay, I see.
I'm going to venture a guess that it probably is being reported more, but also part of the problem is the companies have cut back in the last 10 years, and so mm-hmm. many times now you can't bring a spouse or a date.
Last year, the K-Rock Christmas party, they said no spouses or dates, mm-hmm. but you had to buy them drinks all night as if they were there. And I thought that was rude.
They set you up. That's what I'm saying.
They do.
They totally do.
Because let's face it, you go to one of these parties, then after enough drinks, your spouse is in there and, margin accounting starts to look good. Next thing you know, you're in trouble.
Open bar, no spouse. What do you think's going to happen?
I got to tell you, there's never been a Marge that I've been in trouble with. You know what I mean? Like, Marge may not be the one.
Irene? Okay.
A lot of hot people at this radio station, but none of them are named Marge that I know of.
That was kind of my point, by the way.
No, but, well, I hear you.
Anyway, that's holiday parties, and the K-Rock one is at the end of next week, I guess, or something like that. So
one of these days, we're going to have to recount, the top five moments of K-Rock Christmas parties, because I think we win.
Oh, I know we win.
It's across the board, from people crying, sobbing, to, we have story after story of how a Christmas party went awry.
I've never been to worse Christmas parties than the K-Rock parties, ever.
And I think part of the problem is it's the week after Acoustic Christmas, usually, and the promotions department, who puts on a kick-ass party, has already done that. They've put on a kick-ass party for Acoustic Christmas, and then they're out.
Right, but I don't even think anyone here asks them to help. They just
I don't think they do.
They put it in the hands of somebody who's never, thrown a party before, and it just ends up being awful.
Yeah. I also think a lot of the times, a lot of the really good venues for a party like that, a kind of a more upscale party, is scared away by the idea of K-Rock having their holiday party there.
And don't you think that's deserved?
Yeah, no, but I think so.
Mike's saying that's how we end up at the Burger King out on La Cienega again.
You're at Taco Truck in East L.A.
A hotel, airport,
we're doing
restaurant.
Taco Truck again?
I hope not.
That was a good one, Lisa. The Wednesday at 5 at the hotel airport. I do remember that one.
That was good.
God.
LAX.
Now, I haven't been in, many, 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 many years. So, I don't know. Have the parties improved? We have had a change in management since the last time I went.
Oh,
to the
definitely.
Are they better now?
Oh, the parties are way better than they were when, who was here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dumbledore. No, what's his name? The person that dare not speak his name. Who's that? From Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Of course it's Trip. Of course that's who I'm referring to.
Voldemort.
Thank you, Voldemort.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
I thought you forgot his name.
It's the person.
You could forget his name. It's not out of the realm of possible.
His I couldn't forget, unfortunately.
I never even saw Harry Potter, so I didn't even know what name we were looking for.
Harry Potter.
I said Harry Potter, though, and that's a movie I rented over the weekend.
Oh.
I apologize.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I hope you don't forget Trip.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing any of us want.
That's true. That's a good point.
He was not the party thrower of all time, unfortunately. All right, well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, every December, we do have to take calls from people. It's not going to be today, unfortunately, but every December, we have to take calls from people about their Christmas parties.
Sure.
And all of the exact same mistakes are made year after year after year. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I like the ones that are at work, at your lunchtime. That's when they have the party.
Those are good. And the ones that are at work, mandatory, and you have to pay.
That's good, too.
Right. Those are good.
A lot of times they're mandatory at night, too, and you have to pay.
Yeah.
So that's good times. That's the Christmas spirit. It really brings everybody together.
Sure does.
Which I think is nice. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
If you missed yesterday's show, Ralph's Video Vault, he had some highlights of maybe the greatest worst movie of all time. And I mean worst.
It's pretty bad.
It's called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. You can find some clips of it on YouTube if you search for that. But Ralph's going to give us some highlights of that movie coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about catty things that girls do to girls.
Women can be bad.
Women can be awful.
Yeah.
They're very competitive
to each other. And we just had some first-hand knowledge of that, actually, this past Friday morning during the Miss Double December. A lot of backstage drama going on. A lot of people didn't know about.
But now they will?
A lot of drama. Yeah, now they will.
Okay.
Maybe not everything, but we'll try to give you as much as we can.
Okay.
Without crushing people's lives. New TV show Life, we have Damian Lewis on the program today.
So good.
Excited about that. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Speaking of TV shows, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Yeah.
Wrapping up. What do we have, 2-3 people left? Is that it?
Yeah, I think there's just like two more episodes. Yeah. Like this may be the second to the last.
Oh, LaQuisha's going to be so sad. I mean, she's just going to walk around and go, what do I watch now?
Yeah.
Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, over. She's going to have to wait for that that dude from Italy that's got his spinoff.
Oh, that's right.
Until she's happy again. We also have the author and former stripper, Diablo Cody, who wrote the movie Juno, which looks fantastic.
It sure does.
Getting great reviews.
Getting great reviews as well, yeah. So we're going to talk to her on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. You know how we really don't like talking to strippers, but, you know, for you, the audience, sometimes,
for art.
Sometimes we'll do that, yeah.
I love all strippers, but there aren't very many of them who have written a Hollywood movie. I'll tell you that. That's an interesting story she's got.
The K-Rock Street Team, we're going to draw again and give somebody tickets to K-Rock's Almost to Christmas 2007.
Great.
You got to be a Street Team member to buy those tickets, which are tomorrow night at 5 for night 1, tomorrow night at 6 for night 2. And if you're not a Street Team member, you don't get the code. Let's say you sit down at your computer, you get through to Ticketmaster, you don't have the code. They say, thank you, bye-bye. So that's what you have to do. And we're going to draw a name and just give them tickets so they don't have to worry about it tomorrow night. Plus, we have pit tickets for both nights of K-Rock's Almost to Christmas 2007. Saturday night, and then you're going to turn around after your hangover on Sunday morning and go Sunday night again in the pit.
Or just sleep in your car in the parking lot of the Gibson.
Like mugs. Like beer mug. Which he does on a regular basis. I don't even think he has a home. I think he just sleeps there in his car all the time.
He has a cot that's in a parking spot.
Yeah.
It's saved for him.
And a little cone so no one else can park there. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
That looks like Ralph Garman down at the end of the table. What's going on, Ralph?
Nope.
Not Ralph.
Oh. Thought
yeah,
it was you.
It's me.
My bad.
He almost had us.
Trying to screw with me.
You
know, the eyes are going.
What's up?
What's happening?
It's funny you should say the eyes are going. I ordered and got in the mail yesterday. You guys are going to make fun of me here.
A new tube? A new tube for your eye?
No. I ordered a lighted magnifying glass.
A magnifying glass
that has lights in it so that you can see
for
stuff that's super, super, super tiny. Because I find myself reading things that are, even for people who can see, the print is just way too tiny.
What?
So now
what are
I've got
doing, archaeological digs? You're trying to read ancient scrolls?
Thomas Guide is one of those that is so freaking hard
good
to
example.
Read.
Good example. Yeah.
What is going on here?
No. Hey,
yeah.
Wilma Flintstone, who's still using the Thomas Guide?
You don't use your Thomas Guide
no.
ever?
No.
Sometimes you're out in your car and you don't have access to a computer.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going.
Well, I get lost, as you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Lot.
At least
yeah,
that's
lost
true. Almost more than anyone I know.
I have like 20 Thomas Guides in my car.
What?
For everywhere.
For every city.
Wisconsin. Every city.
For every U.S. city.
Yeah.
Backseat's
here's
full.
Here's an interesting fact for you, Lisa.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Did you know that there is one intentional mistake on every single page of the Thomas Guide?
No. Why is that?
So that nobody can steal their maps. So you can prove that you copied our map to use for something else. We put on a fake street or a fake river or something like that that isn't there, that only we know is there.
No wonder
how cool
I get
is that?
Lost.
She's going down the fake street.
Every time.
Thomas Guide.
Somehow Lisa zeroes in on the fake street and takes it.
Clearly that's what's happening.
I can't find Kangston Boulevard. So this is a lighted magnifying glass. Is it the owl? Or is it just one of
those? It's not the owl.
Oh,
no.
What's the owl? What do you mean?
The owl's the one the size of a credit card you put in your wallet.
He went off about that one day.
When you're in a restaurant
I got the owl
and it's dark and you can't see the total in the bill, you just whip out the owl. Boop. There you see it.
I got you.
And it goes,
yeah.
Boop.
That's the sound?
It's the sound I make when I use it.
Oh. This is a new Hamburger Schlemmer item that I'm finding very useful.
Hamburger Schlemmer does
good. Oh, I love them so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, 5:49, Wednesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I love Bill Clinton.
Okay.
Always have, always will, because of behavior like this.
He's taken, but all right. Barely.
You know, he's on, he's been on his best behavior now that his wife's on the campaign trail, right?
Sure.
But Thursday night, at a gala event in New York City, the New York Post reports that he was originally seated between Queen Sophia of Spain and the Vogue magazine editor, Anna Wintour.
Right.
Yes. But he goes off to Oscar de la Renta, the designer, and switches seats with him so he could sit next to Penelope Cruz. Come on! Gotta love Willie. Still working the angles.
Always.
During an acceptance speech where he received a medallion from the Queen of Spain, he made a special point of noting that he'd seen and liked all of Miss Cruz's films. Worked her into the acceptance speech.
How about that?
You know he got some of that later.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, he may be the only guy in America who really, really is praying Hillary Clinton wins this election because of all the free time he's going to have if she's busy being president.
Absolutely.
Free time and in the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just going to be a revolving door of poon.
You don't want to run a black light over the Lincoln bedroom after Clinton's been in the White House, because there's going to be Penelope Cruz have slept there and all kinds of
He's going to be, oh, juices. Hillary's so sad. You got to go back to Russia for a week. Okay, have a good time, honey. I'll see you later.
Bye, honey. I'm just going to go out with the fellas.
He is so going to be dogging it.
The greatest. How often do you hear stupid broads like Nicole Richie doing something good?
Seldom.
Seldom. So I wanted to make a point of this story. Apparently, she and her baby daddy, Joel Madden, threw a surprise baby shower for 100 expectant and new moms at the Los Angeles Free Clinic on Monday.
Huh.
Free Clinic, by the way, if you don't know, is an amazing organization here in Los Angeles that provides free health care for people who have financial hardships. Back in my struggling days as an actor, I used to have to go to the Free Clinic because I didn't have any health insurance.
Wow.
And they always did great work, and I really appreciate
you
that.
You missed out on a baby shower, though.
I donate to them every year because they do such good work.
Went through a lot of penicillin back in those days.
I did.
Ralph,
Yeah. A lot of nonspecific urethritis, they used to call it. And they gave out over $200,000 worth of gifts.
Wow.
To the moms.
That's really nice.
The Richie Madden couple told reporters that everything they gave to those moms were stuff that they had picked out for their own nursery in their own home. So it was all high-end stuff.
How about that?
Dude. Pretty cool. So, nice thing for them to do. I guess that's why they didn't make the list of the dumbest celebrities in Hollywood.
Oh, that's a good list.
New York Post, Daily News, rather, has just released their list of the dumbest celebrities in Hollywood.
Men, women, or both?
Both.
Okay.
How do you even...
start?
Yeah, how do you whittle it down?
There was one name that immediately came to my mind.
Well, you'd be surprised to know she's not in the top five.
How do you know which one I'm thinking of?
Because I know you.
Okay.
I'll give you the top five. Right. Shia LaBeouf.
What?
Nabbed fifth place for being arrested outside of Walgreens while drunk.
Wow. That was an aberration for him. Yeah. He's
a one-off. That hardly seems fair. Jeff Quatnitz.
Who's that?
He's the guy who heads up the firm.
Okay.
For allowing Britney Spears to perform at the VMAs.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah. Number three, Spencer Pratt of The Hills.
Well, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see that.
Number two, Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Okay.
And number one, Lindsay Lohan. For her poor movie choices, her delinquent behavior, and bad taste in men. That's why they gave her the coveted crown.
Lindsay Lohan.
I was thinking Jessica Simpson. Because really, you don't talk dumb.
Yeah.
I was thinking Kelly Pickler. That's who I was looking for.
That's a good one, too.
That, too. This list blows.
Yep.
Well, write your strongly worded letter of complaint
to what? I don't have a website to send it to.
New York Daily News.
It's a list about poor choices more than dumb.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad judgment should be. Britney Spears is ticking off her bosses at Jive Records with her flakiness. A source tells the New York Post that Britney was supposed to show up for a video shoot last Tuesday.
Yep.
And the director was there. The backup dancers made it. Makeup people managed to make it. She did not. They had $500,000 spent on that shoot.
Oh!
How can they be surprised? She doesn't show up to court when she's supposed to.
They called her and said, look, if you don't want it, we've got another artist named Samantha Jade that we're trying to bring up. She's another Pop-Tart.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
She's pretty hot.
Okay. Holy smoke.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, we can just pull her out and we'll just rejigger the shoot and just make it her video instead.
Nice.
Well, 12 hours later, Britney managed to get to the set and they went on with the shoot. So
12 hours later.
She's bad.
I would have said, okay, we got 30 seconds. You better dance your ass off right now.
That's a quick video.
We're out. Yeah.
Let's go.
Her album has tanked after its relatively strong first week.
Yeah.
And she doesn't appear to be wanting to do anything to try to save it. I mean, now's when you got to strike. If she's ever going to sell any records, it's
she's
right now
go
before
on strike too?
No. I'm saying she could be making an effort with some, you know, some coherent interviews with some good videos. I mean, she could save that album if she worked it, but she doesn't seem to be
interested. You're acting as if she has any of those options available to her.
Taco Bell's still open, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's important. Vanessa Hudgens.
No.
Wants her boyfriend, Zac Efron.
Yes.
To man up.
Yeah!
There's nothing wrong with Zac the way he is.
According to Star Magazine, she wants him to act more manly.
Nope.
She's sick and tired of Zac worrying about his skin and his clothes. She said it's very feminine, the way he behaves.
Yeah, she needs to dump him for that.
She needs to start dating a guy.
Yeah.
He's
the thing.
Perfect just
He's
the way
a girl.
He is.
Stop dating a Ken doll with smooth plastic down where his junk should be.
And by the way...
Oh, how dare you.
We don't ring the bell for guys, dude.
How could you say that? Look at his eyelashes.
Although he is partial girl.
Yeah.
He does have great eyelashes.
He does have the
Shut
best
up!
Eyelashes.
Look at his eyelashes.
Oh, and he has the silky smoothness, silky smooth skin, too, by the
cocoa
way.
Cocoa butter skin.
Wow.
Yeah. Bean just had a major stroke.
What's going on with him?
Snickers, snin.
That's all. Keep it funky now.
Okay. Yeah.
Funky and juicy. Funky and juicy. Keep that in mind. Take a look at the celebrity court docket, shall we? Evel Knievel's only been dead since Friday, but already people are crawling out of the woodwork to get their hands on his money. About 30 years ago, he beat a guy with a baseball bat because he wrote a book about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't
know if this story or not, but it's fascinating. This guy was a Hollywood PR guy named Shelley Saltman, who had been friends with Evel, but then wrote a tell-all, unauthorized biography about him and included some things that Evel always claimed were lies.
Right.
So as opposed to taking him to court...
While he was alive?
Evel shows up with a baseball bat and breaks the guy's arms.
Oof.
Well, he did some time for it, and he also lost a lawsuit that Shelley Saltman filed against Evel for $13 million in damages, but he was never able to collect a dime. Now the 76-year-old Saltman has decided to go after Evel's estate with interest and is asking for $100 million.
Wow.
Where is he banking? Because I would like to bank there. That's some good interest right there.
Yeah, it is pretty good interest, isn't it?
So, it's at ING Direct.
By the way, Shelley Saltman never asked for anything from Evel while he was still living.
Yeah, that's the strange thing.
Because he's a pussy. Now that he's dead, he's going after his money.
Interesting. So I want to follow the story here. So he sued him and won and then couldn't collect because Evel didn't have any money? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Evel has owed all that money for all these years?
Yep. I guess so.
Wow.
A la O.J. Simpson. You know, just never coughed up a dime.
Plus, Evel didn't turn in a library book one time, and he owes a lot for that as well.
All those fines really accrue.
Way big.
Dennis Quaid and his wife have filed a lawsuit after their newborn twins were given an accidental overdose of heparin.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
At the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center last week.
Yeah,
right? It was bad business. They're okay, apparently. They're recovering well, but they were close to death at one point.
Wow.
It's interesting that he's suing the company as opposed to the hospital.
Here's why. He says that it really wasn't Cedars' fault. He said the company that manufactures heparin, which is a blood thinner, Baxter Healthcare.
Guilty.
They don't label their drug vials clearly enough to see. If at a quick glance, a small dose of 10 units looks very similar to the massive 10,000-unit dose.
Oh, no.
And so they said it's easy for a medical practitioner to grab the wrong vial and administer an overdose to babies.
Didn't a couple other babies die?
Three other infants died because of the mix-up in other cases.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're asking for at least $50,000 in damages, but I'm sure they can get much more.
Sounds legitimate.
And, yeah, I think in this case, I mean, Dennis Quaid doesn't need the money.
Right.
And I doubt it. He's really chasing after the buck. I think he wants some sort of punitive damages to this company for not taking better care of making sure that this doesn't happen to other kids.
Yeah, that's scary.
And lastly, another lawsuit, believe it or not, for Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, please.
From Borat.
Really?
Yeah. This time, it's the guy who was giving him the driving instructions in the film.
That guy was great.
Remember the driving instructor?
Oh, yeah.
That was the best.
I got it right here. You want to hear a little of it?
Can we follow her and maybe make a sexy time with her?
No.
Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.
No, it's not.
That guy's suing?
Why is he suing?
The guy's suing because he said the movie makes him look silly.
It does?
Yes.
Is there a law against that?
I don't think so at all.
He says he only got $500 for the driving lesson. He said the actor drove erratically down residential streets, drank alcohol, and yelled to female pedestrians. Now Michael Seneska wants $400,000 for damages and emotional harm he's suffered.
He just wants
the best,
money.
Yeah, everybody
the best thing
wants
that ever happened
taste,
to him.
That's for sure.
At least he's right on it. At least he's, accurate. Time-wise, he's right on it.
He really is right on the test. He just got around to renting the video.
They almost didn't even put that out by the time.
Hey, I look silly.
He looks great in that. I think he comes off the best out of anybody. Today's celebrity birthdays, Frankie Muniz, who, of course, was Malcolm in the Middle. He's 22. He's 22 years old. That's right. He's racing cars now. Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls turns 42 years old today. Most recently, a host on America's Next Top Band or something, whatever that freaking show was. What a disaster that show was.
Yeah, that was supposed to be as big as Idol, right?
It was from the Americas of American Idol. They were going to find America's Next Top Band, and no one watched.
Yeah.
No one cared. Margaret Cho, formerly the least funny woman in America until she lost her crown to Chelsea Handler. She's 39 years old today. And Little Richard, one of the architects of rock and roll, who really, along with Chuck Berry, probably invented rock and roll. He's 75
years old.
That's
all keep it funky now.
That's right. And our own Charles was his drummer for many, many years.
That's correct.
And married Richard's sister, too, by the way.
Yeah. Little Richard's sister.
Little Richard was his brother-in-law.
He's got some stories.
Woo! Some hell of a wedding. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This writer's strike has got to end before this show gets on the air, doesn't it? I mean, come on. This is just, it's desperation time now, isn't it?
Dude, this is the kind of show that gets on with writers, you know? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that gets put on the air. There's a new reality show that they're talking about called Who Wants to Marry a U.S. Citizen? And the producers are saying that it aims at creating marriages between U.S. citizens and immigrants who have temporary visas. So they're going to take a girl who's a U.S. citizen, and then they're going to find three guys who are not citizens and try to find a match so she can marry them.
Like the dating game?
Yes.
Exactly what it's like, Lisa, because we all know that's how the best long-lasting relationships that work come about is on reality television. We've all learned that, certainly. Angelo Gonzalez, the host of the program, says, "We're just out to play matchmaker. There are thousands of U.S. citizens seeking a spouse and just as many immigrants seeking the same. So we want to make it a win-win situation for all involved."
Here's a little clip from the website.
"I'm honest. I'm hardworking. I don't have bad habits. I don't smoke. I drink very light.
I just have so much love for the world and so much love to give to you.
I'll never cheat on you and be monogamous and be there to the end.
I would marry all these guys, but I can only choose one."
Yes, she would. She would marry all of them.
And those guys can fix the tile in your bathroom, too. That's the best.
Good point, Lisa. It's interesting to me that the guys on the clips and the guys that I've seen in press for this show are all Mexican guys or South American guys. You know she's going to pick some unbelievably wealthy British guy who just wants to move to America to get away from taxation back home. You know that's what's
going
to happen.
If they give her that option, but you get the idea they're not going to.
Yeah.
Well, we asked producer Lighting, can he get us anyone who's associated with this show? And apparently we do have one of the contestants that's going to be on the show when it airs after the first of the year. I think we do have the gentleman on the line with us right now. Good morning, Kevin and Bean here.
What's up, bang?
Is this Rudy?
No way. Rudy's on the phone, eh? What's up?
Are you on this show?
I want to be. I deserve it, eh?
You deserve to be on the show?
I deserve to be a citizen. I was in the Coast Guard. I fought proudly for like 5 years.
How can you be in the Coast Guard?
Nah, just kidding. But I do live in my parents' garage, eh?
Rudy, do you have one of your Art LeBeau albums going on in the background? Or what's going on there?
Jada Brown, home.
Sure.
Okay. That was a jam from back in the day.
Sure. Yeah. But here's what I don't understand about you. You've been on our show for years. You already live in the United States. Why do you care whether you're a citizen or not?
Because, man, like, I want to go to college. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, I'm all set, ready to go to UCLA, Stanford, Harvard. All these schools are asking for me, you know, but, like, I'm not a citizen, so I can't get in, eh?
Did you say that Stanford and Harvard and other schools are asking for you?
Yeah. I do have a Dodger blanket, though.
Now, Rudy.
It's warm. Oh, it's so warm.
Rudy, what is
it wrapping around me right now? It's a Dodger blanket.
What is it that you think you have to offer to a U.S. citizen, a female? Besides the weed.
Besides good times?
Yeah. Do you have a job, for example?
I'm an actor.
You're an actor.
That's right, eh?
That's the first we've heard of that.
All the times we've talked, you never mentioned that.
I was an extra in American Me. I was one of the naked cholos in the back of the shower. I was like, yeah, get him, puppet.
But you can't support your new wife as an actor. You don't get enough work. What else do you have to offer? What do you bring to the relationship if she chooses you?
I don't have a car right now, but like I did. I leased a Sentra from Universal City Nissan. Like 6 months ago. It took them like 3 months to foreclose. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty good with my credits and stuff.
Okay, but wait.
I'm almost there, eh?
So you don't have a car now?
Nah, well, no. I mean, like, not right now, eh? Like, you know what I'm saying? But my cousin, he lives, like, right down the block, eh? He's got a Fly Regal. You know, he could always, like, you know, pick us and scoop us up if we need to go somewhere.
That's what a girl's looking for, is a guy with a friend with a car.
I can do things for her, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yard work. I mean, I can't promise, like, fidelity. What? You know, but, like, whatever. She won't ever have to meet any of my kids, I promise. They, like, I've only met, like, three of my kids, you know?
How many kids do you have?
Damn. Let's go with five.
Let's go with
okay.
five.
Yeah. Okay. Rudy, you're not painting an attractive portrait of a woman who's going to go on a show. Remember, you're in competition with other people. You have to sound like the better choice.
I can build a gun out of a magazine and a toothpick.
Hey,
I
Rudy.
How in jail.
Hey, Rudy, don't.
What's up?
What happened to Sad Girl? Don't you have?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you have a chick?
Hina's sleeping right now, eh? She doesn't even know.
She doesn't know that you want to go on a reality show and marry someone else?
Forget her, eh? Like, she's barely my girlfriend.
I listen.
You know what I'm saying? She's not even, like, good for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she cooks, she cleans, whatever. I know she's going to school. She's trying to, like, you know, keep her head up. You know, she's going to Marinello School of Cosmetology.
Right.
You know, like, doing her thing. But she's just not working out. You know what I'm saying? And, like, she's not a citizen either. What good she can do for me, you know?
Would you mind if we talked to her? Would you wake her up and
hand her the phone? God damn it, eh?
Just hand her the phone. I want to talk to Sad Girl.
All right, I gotta wake her up. It might take a second. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. This is a shame. They've been together a long time. He's gonna throw her over just for a green card here.
I know.
Hey, Sad Girl. No, it's Kevin and B on the phone, not Mousy.
Mousy.
Hey, all right. Sitting in the park. Hello.
Sad Girl.
Oh, scandalous. Go,
We're sorry to have to wake you up. It's Kevin and B from K Rock.
Firme, bad horns. What's up, horns?
We were just talking to your man, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy, oh, firme, bomb scandalous.
And it seems to us like he is talking about trying to get on a show, a TV show, where he finds a wife.
Oh, okay.
But
it's
you're,
good.
Aren't you his,
scandalous.
Aren't you his girlfriend?
Burly.
Well, you don't want him stepping out on you, though. I thought you guys were tight like that.
Oh, no. I haven't been tight since 1984.
Oh, okay.
Sad girl.
I don't think we need to know
No wonder
that.
You're a sad girl.
By the way, our success rate of reaching K-Rock listeners first thing in the morning, not high.
Yeah,
you
what's
mean
up with
asleep?
That?
They
sleep a lot.
To an automatic voice message system.
Well, that woman lives with everyone we call. It's weird.
Six, eight, two,
what a whore she is.
7-0 is not available. To page
gets around.
Person, press 5 now.
Does that paging ever work?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
I never have either.
Hey, Samantha Martinez of Corona, California. Good morning.
Hello. Wake up.
I don't know if you have the kind of message where you can hear it, but it's Kevin and Bean and Lisa. We're calling from K-Rock. Got a couple of shows this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night. We have tickets for you for night number 2.
Thought you might want to go.
In the pit.
Sure would be a whole lot cooler if we could talk to you, Samantha.
In the pit.
In the pit. Talking about Muse, Feist, Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickups, and Spoon. Unless you'll be sleeping Sunday night and won't be able to make that either.
Lazy.
Lazy.
So, I hate you.
Samantha, I guess somebody will call you back today. I guess. So there you go.
I hope.
Good times. Glad we were able to hook up with you, and thank you for listening, and you sound funny. You sound like a great person. You sound like you're going to enjoy the show a lot.
Sure. Glad you're going.
So, okay then.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Wow.
Kevin, where are those tickets?
Wake and bake.
I'm sorry, what?
Where are the tickets?
Where are the tickets?
In the pit! I mean, come on, people. There are tickets in the pit. What do you want from us?
Get that phone.
So, Acoustic Christmas Saturday, Sunday night. Here is one of the charities that's benefiting.
The Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center is an educational youth center in South Central Los Angeles.
We provide a safe, nurturing environment
committed to good citizenship
and academic excellence.
It keeps school interesting, like, because if you don't have nothing to keep you with it when you're out of school, it's not going to be interesting to you.
When I used to be in a bad home, since I have come to the center, I feel like I'm safe, and I thank you for that.
Proceeds from night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
Oh, I'm too tired to answer my phone. I can't get up and say hi on the phone when it rings.
It's too early.
Not me.
It's too early. It's only Kevin and Bean calling. Why bother rolling over and picking up that phone? Huh, Samantha Martinez from Corona?
I'm sorry.
I'm sleeping. I drank way too much last night. I am hungover.
It is early.
It doesn't do us any good if 5 minutes after we call you decide, I'll talk to them if they've got free tickets. Come on, Samantha. What's up with you?
I have to to get ready for work. I didn't hear the phone.
I guess it's too early to get tickets then, isn't it, if it's too early?
No, it's not.
Too early to win tickets, I guess.
And by the way, get ready for work is K-Rock Lester's code for sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
To pack a bowl.
I don't know if I want any whiners and excuse makers even at the show on Sunday night. How about you guys?
I think Samantha's okay. I'm going to vouch for her.
Thank you.
What if you're too tired to rock out this weekend?
No, never.
All right, we have tickets for you in the pit on Sunday night.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much. I'm excited.
Bet. You get Muse, Feist, Jimmy E. World, Modest Mouse, Silver Sun Pickup, Spoon, and The Shins. And you will be there right up front just because you're a K-Rock listener and member of the street team.
Wow, this is my first time winning anything. Thank you.
How about that?
You didn't have to do anything. You just had to wait, pick up the damn phone, and you couldn't do that.
All we
asked is for the least you could do, Samantha, but you couldn't even do that. All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you Sunday night. Glad you listened. It's 6:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Diablo Cody, former stripper turned screenwriter, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show later. And who's this guy from the TV show Life we're going to be talking to, Ralph?
Oh, Damian Lewis, my hero.
He's your new man crush or
God
something?
God damn it. He is brilliant in this Life show. Yeah. And the season finale is tonight. The second half of the two-hour season finale. Mondays was so good. Gives his ex-wife a horse. Spectacular.
Or what?
Is that a euphemism? What does that mean? Yeah.
No.
Is that some kind of sex move?
Here's the thing about Charlie Cruz, the lead character of Life. He got put away for 12 years for a crime he didn't commit. While he's inside, he discovers Zen.
Okay.
Buddhism, okay? To try to center himself, to try to survive this horrific ordeal. Being a cop in prison, by the way.
Not good?
Not a good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he comes out, and he's just enlightened enough to sort of grasp the basic tenets of Buddhism, being very Zen and very centered.
Right.
But he's not quite as enlightened as he'd like to be, so he still has a lot of issues. Like, his ex-wife left him when he got charged for the crime.
Right.
And so he's got a lot of jealousy there because she's remarried. So it's their anniversary, their 15th wedding anniversary. And he jokingly promised her when they got married, you know, for our 15th anniversary, I'm going to buy you a horse. So he goes to the home that his ex-wife is now living with her new husband, and leaves a giant white horse on his lawn.
That's awkward.
I told you. I promise is a promise. And he just walks away and leaves a giant horse on their lawn.
That's awkward.
So we got Damian Lewis, the lead actor in that show, coming up a little later. I'm very excited.
Hope Samantha can stay awake for it if it's not asking too much.
Exactly.
You know, try to listen. So, all right, it's KRQFM passing Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's everybody talking about?
Speaking of excited, casting news starting to trickle out about the huge comic book movie Justice League of America.
That's the one Warner Brothers is putting together.
This is the biggie, because this has all the big heroes in it.
Okay.
Think X-Men, only on an even bigger scale.
Wow.
This team of crime-fighting superheroes includes Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Superman, the Flash, and they're starting to fill those roles slowly but surely. The Los Angeles Times today says that sources close to the project say Adam Brody from the OC will be playing the Flash.
The Flash.
The super fast superhero in this movie.
So this guy can just run really fast.
He's the fastest man alive.
Okay.
Which is a good skill to have, I think, if you're fighting crime.
Kind of. Not the best, though.
It's a good one. if I could go over there right now and punch you in the face before you could see me coming and then zip back to my chair, you wouldn't even know what hit you?
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather fly or have super strength or something rather than just run fast?
You don't get it, man. You don't get it. You can run top of water. That's how fast you are.
Oh, I didn't realize you were that fast.
You can vibrate your molecules and pass through solid objects.
Okay, well,
that's
how
fast you are.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's good.
He'll play the second Flash, who was previously Kid Flash, of course, the original Flash's sidekick, who became the Flash.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you don't think you do,
yes,
but you do.
Okay.
Australian supermodel Megan Gale has apparently been cast as Wonder Woman. She's smoking hot. This will make Bean very happy. Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights is rumored to have been cast as Superman.
He plays quarterback Jason Street.
There you go.
Okay.
Is he dreamy, Bean?
He's okay. He's all right.
Wow.
And, he's no Zach, don't get me wrong.
Common is in talks to play the Green Lantern, apparently. So they're starting to put the cast together, slowly but surely.
That?
Of course, I'll be playing Batman.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who is going to be playing Batman, Ralph?
They're just waiting to announce it. We're in talks.
You.
Yeah.
I'm Batman. I wouldn't want to be Batman in a movie opposite the Christian Bale Batman that's already up on the big screen these days.
Whatever with that homo.
we have to get you out of here.
What's up with that teethy lisp thing he's got going on?
He's the best Batman ever.
Ever.
Don't,
We have to make sure the Joker's
ever.
In town, so we have to make sure we get him.
So, hey, get some orthodontia there, Bruce Wayne. You got a lot of money.
He is the best Batman ever.
Hardly.
Excuse me, Adam West
Thank
is
you.
The only Batman, and that's a fact.
Thank you.
Man.
Adam West
that's
a girl.
Bullshit.
Adam West kicks Christian Bale's ass.
Please. If you were to ask Christian Bale, he would tell you that Adam West is the definitive all-time greatest Batman ever.
Please.
Let's get Christian Bale on the phone.
Adam West beat Christian Bale in Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV. Did you see that?
Well, then it's settled.
Kicked his ass. That's what it's for. That's what those things are for. To settle those disputes.
What the hell is exactly. wrong with you?
Don't make us call the decider. We will.
I will do it. I will turn this show around.
All right. Make a note. We got a phone call to make tomorrow. Who is the best Batman ever?
Here's a great story. Pete Wentz wishes he was gay.
Oh.
He's so close.
Hold on. Let me get out my magic wand here. Here we go. Your wish is granted, Pete. You freaking homo.
Never has somebody wished more for what they already are.
Exactly. Boy, I wish I was on the air right now on the Kevin Devine show. Oh, it happened.
I sure wish I was dumb.
I love making wishes come true. I feel like I work at Sears.
Come on.
Pete Wentz told NPR, I would never come out and say I'm gay because I'm not gay.
Right.
But there's a part of me that kind of wishes I was gay.
Is that the part that kisses both men and women?
I guess so.
That part?
Yeah.
All right.
He says he likes to, you know, wear women's jeans.
Sure.
Make out with his male bandmates on stage.
Right.
But he's not gay.
Goes for the guy liner. But he said it's more just to confront society.
Oh, I see. He's a society confronter.
He is.
Okay.
My whole point is I think there's something in art where you should be making people feel uncomfortable. Oh, let me see if I can wish that. Oh, wish comes true. You made me very uncomfortable on stage, Pete.
So he does make Ryan Seacrest seem positively macho, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And by the way, Pete, more hoodies. Just a little fashion advice for you.
Indoors.
Indoors.
Does Pete also wish he was short?
Oh, wish granted.
Done.
Yep. And by the way, being Fallout Boy is another way to maybe get closer to being gay, too, while we're at it.
Yeah. Good work.
Wow.
More music news. Remember that Led Zeppelin at Bonnaroo story I told you about yesterday?
Yes.
I based on your report, I booked my airfare. I'm going to be in Tennessee next spring.
Is that a refundable?
Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate the tip.
Is that ticket refundable?
That was the first announcement of Led Zeppelin.
Is that ticket refundable?
No way. No way.
Ralph came out with it. I heard it. To me, it's gospel. If Ralph says it, the showbiz beat, I went ahead and made vacation plans.
Is that a refundable ticket?
Why? What do you got for me now?
Promoters for the Bonnaroo Outdoor Music Festival today say, no, it's not true. Zeppelin's not playing the Bonnaroo Festival.
Excellent.
What was that?
And you get your information from where?
And Metallica will not be the headliner.
Is there such a thing as the Bonnaroo Festival?
No.
It doesn't exist.
I completely made that up.
Is Tennessee a place?
No.
All right.
They have seceded from the union. Yeah, promoters say the official lineup for Bonnaroo 2008 will be announced late January, early February of next year. So,
Ralph.
There's that for you.
How are you going to come at me like that?
Look! I just read what's put in front
just
of me.
Just because of that, I hope the Philadelphia Eagles have a bad season.
Oh, how dare you.
Done.
Yeah, that was done week two.
I pulled out Led Zeppelin 2 yesterday and cranked it in its entirety at an obscene volume, getting already psyched up for that trip to Tennessee.
That didn't happen. Great story, first of all.
I'm just saying, that's how excited I was by the news that I would have a chance. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I have to go to I told her yesterday, I have to go to Nashville or to Tennessee in June because Led Zeppelin. She says, why? I'm like, I've never seen him. This is like one of my favorite bands of all time. If I have the chance to see them, I have to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Ralph said it's true.
Right.
Is he Bean just rocking out the Led 2, by the way?
At
an obscene
so
volume.
When you say obscene volume?
Yeah.
Obscene volume for Bean is about a 2.
This is the guy after the double December pageant was sitting there ready to have lunch and said, it's too loud in here. I have to leave.
It's too loud. He would say that about an hour into the broadcast.
Getting ready to eat lunch.
A lot of people here. It's pretty loud.
It's too loud. I have to go to IHOP.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's an obscene volume.
I did take my Orange County Register, went to IHOP, and had a nice quiet meal, and it was delightful on Friday.
Jeez.
Wow. And we all sat around, and I had a great time. They brought the meal, everything. Everybody was
Shots,
having fun.
Laughing, screaming.
Being sitting
Girls.
By himself. Wow.
I'd like the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, please. And could you turn down the Muzak? It's obscenely loud. I wish Bean was an 87-year-old woman.
Like he's not.
Just
there he is.
All right. My wish is granted. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frankie Muniz, Malcolm. He was in the middle, you know.
He was right in the middle.
22 years old today.
Still a Clipper fan? Still hanging on?
Got Malcolm in the middle.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Margaret Cho, comedian?
No.
Not so much. She's 39 years old today. Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls is 42. And Little Richard, one of the original rock and roll icons. He is 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, assistant producer, super whore, Alex, come on in here. We're going to need you in a second. I've been following with some interest, and I know you have too, Lisa May, this Miss Puerto Rico story from last week.
Yes.
What do you suppose is going on? You suppose she made the whole thing up, or what's happening? Tell people what happened, first of all, who didn't see the pageant story.
Miss Puerto Rico claimed that her clothes had been pepper sprayed, causing her to break out in a bunch of hives and her eyes watered and stuff before, I guess, the final leg of the pageant. But
during the pageant, right.
She put ice packs on her body and stuff and soldiered on and ended up winning the pageant. And so she says somebody sabotaged her. But then they tested her clothes, and they have tested free of all pepper spray. So now they think she just made the whole thing up to get sympathy.
So she said somebody did that to her and no one did anything to her. She just wanted to get sympathy.
Sure doesn't look like it.
Wow.
She made the whole thing up.
And she said that her bags backstage were stolen with some of her changes of clothes in it and her wallet with her ID and stuff like that. But the people who would be deciding who Miss Puerto Rico is, the judges, would not have been privy to any of that stuff going on backstage, though. It wouldn't have gotten her some sympathy with them if she walked out on stage like that.
I can only guess that had she not won, she would have claimed that she would have done much better if this hadn't happened and created some sort of stir. That's all I can imagine.
Could be.
Well, when we heard that story, we honestly, as funny a story as it was, with the pepper spray in the clothes, none of us were surprised, because every time we've been in a situation, and we get in a lot of them on this show, where women are competing against other women, the first thing they do is hate on each other. The first thing they do is drag each other down and do everything they can, no matter how underhanded they can, to win.
And we're going to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067 if you have stories of catty things that you've done to another girl or another girl has done to you.
Uh-oh.
It seems like girls are worse at this than guys. Guys will play pranks on you, but they're not as like...
Well, guys will come right out and tell you they hate your guts or whatever.
I guess.
Girls are very underhanded. So we don't want to look mean.
We have a little experience with this on this past Friday morning when we did our Miss Double December pageant.
Well, alcohol didn't help.
And our assistant producer, Alex, who was backstage trying desperately to keep the girls from killing each other.
She was the boob wrangler.
Yeah.
First of all, I hate you and I want hazard pay.
Yeah, well, you deserve it.
Yes.
You deserve
it. Yeah, it was tough being back there in that room where all the girls were changing in and out of their bikinis.
Like, I look at boobs every day. It was like...
Not like those.
It was like pageant place meets some awful Survivor competition.
We've never had this before. It was a joke. She kept coming out and going, you're never going to believe this. You're never going to believe this.
They were, they were all... They started out great. They were nervous.
Sure.
So as a result, you know, they all brought a friend or family member with them. They wanted to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, thinking that they'd be responsible, because, you know, the booze just started coming in. I'm like, okay, look, you can have one drink, and then we can all party after, and we can hang out after, but we kind of got to focus.
And you don't really care if they drink. You just want the show to go okay.
Right. And I want them to be, I don't know, coherent.
Right.
So that all went out the window, because I didn't realize how nervous they were. And they were drunk within 45 minutes to an hour. They were downing drinks, not eating. They were hiding the booze from me under the table. One of the contestants tried to steal Lisa's booze off of the table.
When she came out on stage, she didn't try to. She grabbed it and started downing it immediately.
And also, when a bunch of girls get together, for some reason, they just have to talk crap on each other and start rumors.
That's the thing. And by the way, anytime you tune into one of those Bachelor-type shows, I swear to God, half of those women don't even like the dude. They just want to beat out the other chicks who are in competition for the dude.
And how can I say this delicately?
You don't have to.
Okay. One of the past Miss Double Decembers, Christy, lied and said that our current Miss Double December, Cassidy, called one of the past Miss Double Decembers fat because Christy's friends with Chanel and wanted her to win.
And
are you still with me?
And then that wasn't enough. So
that wasn't enough.
She called everyone fat. I'll never show up again. I was like, are you four really?
Apparently she called girls who weren't even there who she had never met or seen fat. Now, please understand, myself or awesome intern Cleo had to be in the room at all times.
Right.
You know, no other guys were allowed in. Bean. So we saw the girls divide. Half of the girls were sweet and generous and nice and just happy to be there. And the other half became evil. And unfortunately, some of the other past Double D's believed Christy, and Lauren, when she kissed Cassidy, pulled her hair because she thought it was true.
Oh,
you're kidding!
No, Lauren told me that. I'm like, Lauren, she didn't call you fat. She's like, oh well, I pulled her hair. I was like,
what is going on? And by the way, I would have looked for that if I'd have known that was happening. That sounds pretty hot.
When some found out that they lost, they were crying. Some of them left, didn't even take their consolation prizes that we'd gotten for them.
Look, I've liked Christy this whole time. I think she's been a good representative.
She
everything,
has,
but
yeah.
she was doing nothing but stirring up trouble on that remote, and she started talking to me, and I almost laughed at her. I almost said, are you out of your effing mind?
I lost all respect for her when she started pointing her finger and yelling at Cassidy as Cassidy's about to walk on the stage in the swimsuit. I know what you said. You're a liar. Screaming at her, and I'm like, put the booze down and just go back to the 909.
And this is during the competition, right?
During the competition, screaming at our contestants. Like, how is this appropriate behavior? You're a grown-ass woman. Did you graduate high school?
I still love Christy because in Las Vegas that one time she put him on the glass. So for she's got a free pass for life.
Well, now we have younger and hotter boobs that are real that you can see being.
Well, there is that. That's a good point. So the point is that women get competitive, women get catty, women undermine each other in every possible way. And like Lisa said, I think part of the reason they do is because they don't want it to be obvious. You know, so they do it underhanded, which is...
You know, Aisa made a good point. She said, oftentimes the prettier a woman is, the more insecure she is. And she came out of that room at one point and said, my God, these women are so insecure.
Well, I think part of the problem is the insecurity, but it's also, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of eyes on you. I would think it would be scary as hell to be competing just on your looks.
Well, that's the problem.
That's tough.
For some of them, after speaking with them, that's all they grew up with and were given. They have nothing else to fall back on.
Right.
It's not like they have a college degree or they're going to start a business or they feel that they're loved or smart in any other way. So if they lose this competition or they lose a guy and all they have is their beauty, they're screwed.
But I'd like to suggest maybe not adding a lot of alcohol to that mix at that time.
Wow.
Maybe that's a good idea.
And I know drinking at 6 a.m. is like drinking one drink at 6 a.m. is five drinks at 6 p.m.
Can I just say to work out your self-esteem issues through the Kevin and Bean Miss Double D pageant may not be the best way to go.
Idea.
Chanel.
Good point.
That's all I'm saying.
Although, having said that, Psycho Mike's website, Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem, is going to be a runaway hit just because of that. All right. Yeah. Let's take one quick call, and then we'll take a break and come back and get more. Let's talk to Jen in Huntington Beach, 1-800-520-1067. You know what we're talking about, what girls can do to girls. Those are the stories we want to hear if you were one of the two girls involved. Jen, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
The story is actually about my mom. Back before I was around, she had this roommate, and she replaced the hairspray bottle with bleach.
With bleach?
Oh, wow.
My God.
Why did she do that? They were fighting over something or just...
I don't know. My mom just hated her.
Wow.
You know, you can get that in your eyes pretty easily. She could have, blinded her.
Yeah. Worst story I've ever heard.
Good times.
Wow.
Your mom rules.
It's a good role model.
She did that last year, too, which is odd.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jen, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Women are worse to other women than I think guys would ever be.
We're evil. After hanging out in that room, I realized why most of my friends are men. I was like, this is awful. I'm leaving.
I will take your calls.
I think what we're saying is that girls are good except when they're very, very bad toward each other. That's what we're saying here.
We do have some talent in that area.
We're talking about things that girls do to girls, and it can get very ugly. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to Erica in the LBC? She's on line 8. This is a perfect example of the type of thing that I don't think a guy would ever think to do, but somehow girls come up with it. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Erica.
What happened?
Well, eons ago when I was in high school, there was this girl who came to prom, and I it was the last song, and I'm like, you know what, I need to dance with someone. So this guy came up, and I started dancing with him. Well, apparently it was this other girl's crush, and I had no idea.
Right.
And I had a jacket on my seat. Well, when I came back, someone was like, what's that smell? And I looked over, homegirl set my jacket on fire.
Wow.
How do you think set a jacket on fire? How does that even come to your mind?
That's what you get for dancing with the guy that she liked, I guess.
That's great. I think we have a little song for her, don't we?
Girls who set another girl's jacket on fire are whores!
All right, there you go. Joanna is in Pasadena on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Joanna.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Joanna.
What happened?
We put gum in a girl's hair at a football game.
Because?
That's a classic.
She's a B-word.
She's a bitch.
Oh,
So what, you were sitting behind her in the crowd and you just...
We were like a couple of seats behind her. We were trying to throw it in her hair and we sucked at throwing. So one of us went up, made small talk, and stuck it in her nappy little head. So in the morning, she was trying to comb her hair out and she had a big piece of bubble gum in her hair.
Nice. I think we have a song for you.
Girls who put gum in another girl's nappy hair! Our horn!
Okay. I'm sorry I did that. Okay. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
All right,
I did a bad thing.
Can't say nappy, sorry.
Let's talk to line two. We've got Kaylee in Santa Monica. Good morning, Kaylee.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Samay.
Hello.
What happened?
Hey. When I was in high school, me and my girlfriends, I guess this other girl called us sluts or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found a picture of her where she was looking exceptionally manly. She was kind of a butch girl anyway.
Right.
And we made about... I don't know, a couple hundred copies of this picture, and underneath typed, man or woman, you decide. And
nice.
Man was circled, and we, like, threw them all around the school.
See, again, a guy would, if he's got a problem with a dude, may throw a punch, you know, but he's not going to go get a photo printed and paste it all over the school. That's hilarious.
My favorite part is that Kylie's kind of unsure what she really called him or
What's funny.
But they got back at her.
Here's what's funny. With women, the ultimate sin is saying fat or ugly. That's it.
Yes. Yeah,
you
that's
say
right.
that, yeah. you die. That's basically what goes on. We have a song for you, Kaylee.
Girls who pass out copies of Manly Manster pictures.
Okay. You know, you bring up an excellent point, Kevin, because for a guy, if another guy says I'm fat or says I'm ugly, I think I don't really care what you think, right?
No, that's apparently the sin right there.
That's the worst thing you can do to a girl. I think you're absolutely onto something. That was proved Friday at the Miss Double D Summer Pageant. Say someone's fat. You can call them stupid all day. Doesn't bother them. Say they're fat. No, those are fighting words.
It's on.
That's how you all judge us. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's our fault, Lisa.
A little bit.
Sandy and Whittier. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy.
So, hi, Lisa and Kevin Bean.
Hi.
We were at a party, a friend and myself, and there was this girl who was ridiculously drunk, and I just wanted to be nice and, like, you know, make sure that no one took advantage of her. And she started pushing me away and calling me all these names, and so I let her be. And a little ways down the night, I found her, and she was just passed out, and so I got, like, a knife out of my purse, or I don't even know where the knife came from, or if they were scissors, because it was so long ago, but I know that I cut patches of her hair.
Cut patches of hair.
You know,
nice.
I figured this will teach her.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm trying to be nice.
Well, you were trying to be nice. That'll teach her.
That'll teach her. Here's your song.
Girls who just happen to carry a knife in their purse. Oh!
That's the scary part of that.
Yes.
Let's go down to line eight. K-Rock was involved, actually, the damage done to this girl. Michelle is on the line from Torrance. Hi, Michelle. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Michelle.
What'd you do?
Actually, it was two of my girlfriends in high school. They got in a fight over a guy, and the one girl that got mad at the other girl for going out with this guy called up K-Rock Love Lines and announced that she had herpes.
Nice.
Went on the air with that.
Brutal. It was brutal in high school. Everybody knew about it.
High school's the worst.
Well, it doesn't get much better, apparently, from what we saw on Friday. All right, Dick Whiskey has a song for you.
Girls who make erroneous claims of herpes on Loveline. Our horse.
First out of the Kevin and Bean email bag, you can write to any of us. All the email addresses are up at krock.com. Speaking of the Miss Double December pageant, as we were a few minutes ago, this one comes in. Hey, party people, let me start by just saying boobs everywhere, so many tatas. Friday was an incredible live event, an amazing pageant, great job, but I digress. I think I may have created some of the trouble for you guys and for Super Horror Alex trying to wrangle the girls backstage because I was buying drinks for all of them. Look, when the twins come up to me at the bar and they say to me, buy me a drink, no man has the power to say no to Double D's. I'm just saying.
He can't help it. What's he going to do?
Also, it was finally great to meet you guys in person. Bean was surprisingly sociable. I'd like to point out that he writes in his email, by the way. Kevin was intoxicated, just as I expected.
How dare you?
Ralph is really the only professional broadcaster on your team.
He was drunker than any of us.
Alex was awesomely whorish, and he requests a ding. Lisa May looked hotter than I ever imagined. He requests two dings.
All right.
I also have only ever heard Petros and Money on the radio, and I'm telling you, I was shocked. I thought Petros was black and Money was Mexican. It was great taking pictures with most of you and with lots of the Double D Pageant girls. I miss Lisa May, and Kevin came out blurry. I guess the camera was drunk. One of your greatest shows, guys. You're really doing the Lord's work with the Miss Double D Pageant. Hey, where's the party machine? My only regret was there was no wet T-shirt contest that day since it was raining so much. Much love down in San Diego, I say. So that's a very, very nice email. And he enclosed, by the way, photos. He got pictures with, it looks like, 6 or 7 of the Double D chicks.
When I drink, I do come out blurry on pictures, even if you hold the camera still.
That's what happens. Nothing you can do about that, right.
This one's about the writer's strike. Hey, Kevin, concerned citizens want to know, how is the writer's strike impacting our local porn industry? When are you going to have that hard-hitting interview? Dan in Glendale.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
Like they have any.
Here's an email from Danica, by the way, who's very upset with the Kevin and Bean Show, and her email is representative of many, many that we received after Monday night's Heroes episode. How dare you, it begins. I say, how dare you, sirs. Thanks a whole lot for jinxing this week's episode of Heroes. Don't you know the proper protocol while interviewing celebrities, especially hot starlets like Ali Larter, which you did, is you never ask them if they're going to get killed off the show, especially if they're already lingering on the precarious precipice of succumbing to a viral outbreak. Yeah. I mean, on the show, of course. I will hereby boycott your program until tomorrow morning, so there. I hope you're happy you've driven me to this. Shenanigans on you, Danica. Oh, well, I hereby apologize for the aforementioned shenanigans and boycott. So I guess she forgave us. But it wasn't really our fault that we had the opportunity to talk to Ali Larter, and we did, and then she happened to get killed off on Monday night. It wasn't really our fault.
But that's happened. But they've offered someone up to us before, and that night, you know, not good things happened. So we asked her point blank, this is not, you don't really, and she just laughed. Yeah. Laughed it off. This is about Bean's blog. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was on your page. I wanted to see what all the uproar was about with Bean's blog. So I checked, and what did I see? A long, drawn-out letter about the letter O and the letter Q. Really? Bean, you're tempted to give the crown to the letter W to be the best letter? I sometimes like the little bits of info you have, but I cannot believe that you're using the internet to crown a letter in the alphabet. Do you think that this is the great debate of the century? Let me weigh in on this debate and give you a sequence of letters that I like. They are as follows. D-R-O-P... D-E-A-D, A-N-D, D-I-E.
Thank you, Bean, for the hard work that you do. I'm a big fan of your blog. Yeah, I got that.
Yes, that's what it is.
There was a little bit of a raging debate on stronglywordedletter.com this week about what the best letter of the alphabet is, and I think that's what he was referring
really,
to.
Really? That's what you think he was referring to?
Dear Kevin and Bean, with the new toilet-to-tap program you talked about on your show yesterday. Now, let me back up for 1 second for folks who weren't with us at this time yesterday. Orange County Water District tells us that they now have a program where they're taking water that goes, well, basically it's sewage is what it is, and it is treated and turned into drinking water. And that's a fact, and that is in effect right now in Orange County. This emailer, Micah, writes in, with the new toilet-to-tap program, not even bottled water is safe. You guys should know, I used to work for a water bottling company, and they get their water from a well in Anaheim, which is from the same contaminated water supply. I know of two other major brands that get their water from domestic sources, which is known to most people as tap water. These plants usually cover a large area, and I know that's the one that I used to work for that supplied water for most of Southern California. Micah, P.S., Psycho Mike, speaking of drinking bodily fluids, ..
Nice.
And Michelle writes about toilet to tap, and I find this one very funny because Michelle is from the 909. I'm sorry, David was using Michelle's email address, I guess. David is from the 909.
Okay.
And we were making jokes about why don't we test it on the 909 instead, but it's happening in Orange County. David writes, I'm reveling in the fact that my beautiful crystal clear spring mountain water will be processed through my system, where the appropriate amounts of fully digested food waste will be expelled from my system only to wind up in your water system. For once, the Valley of the Dirt people will have their revenge and from the bile you spew forth about us. So over the holidays, raise your glass of treated waste and drink our bounty. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. David, P.S., I'm on my way to the toilet to replenish your water supply.
Oh.
Enjoy.
It's time.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And he has the silky smoothness, silky smooth skin, too.
That was a moment with Bean.
Ouch.
What
Ouch.
A fruit loop.
Ouch. 7:57 Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Writer of Juno, Diablo Cody, joins us after the news at 8 right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Diablo Cody sounds like a gunslinger from the Old West, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure it does. Yeah.
Marshall, Marshall.
What's the matter, deputy? Diablo Cody just walked into town. He's heading towards the saloon.
Doesn't sound like a stripper, I'll tell you that.
Well, get me a posse. We got to bring Diablo Cody in. String him up!
We also have tickets in the pit for both nights of Acoustic Christmas coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Where?
In the pit!
Yeah. And we've got Damian Lewis Life going to be on.
Damian Lewis!
I'm just going to go nuts. You guys can just leave the room. I'll just handle it myself.
Even if you think the 7 o'clock hour blue, today's 8 o'clock hour.
Good. Strong.
Yeah. Look out. Right.
So let's move on with the showbiz news, shall we? Britney Spears apparently cheesing off her bosses at Jive Records by being 12 hours late for a video shoot last Tuesday. Imagine that.
Wow.
It's a $500,000 shoot. The director's there. The backup dancers are ready. The makeup people. Everyone managed to make it on time, except for Britney.
Yep.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Jive Records apparently had to say, look, if you don't want this slot, we've got another up-and-coming artist named Samantha Jade. We'll just turn it into a video shoot for her. That apparently got Britney's ass in gear, and she finally rolled onto the set about 12 hours later.
I don't know how you're 12 hours late. Like, after, I don't know, hour five, don't you go, nobody's there anymore?
This is going to surprise you guys that I didn't bring this up before, but I know somebody who was there that day.
Yeah.
What?
You just thought of that?
Yeah, and they started out... Some of them started out at her house, and she wouldn't. And so then they finally just said, well, go wait on the set, I guess. I mean, it was like, it was scheduled for in the morning, and she didn't show up till like late at night. I don't know how anyone does that.
See, here's the thing, and I hope Team Britney is listening.
Yeah.
This woman is just bad on so many levels. She's irresponsible. She's inconsiderate. She's rude, she's self-centered, she's selfish, obviously.
But inconsiderate doesn't begin to say 12 hours late. I mean, that's just ridiculously... I've never heard of that.
But I'm just saying, across the board, she obviously has little regard for anyone other than herself, including her children.
Yeah, that's true.
And anyone who continues to rise to her defense is just a person that God hates. So just keep that in mind, Team Britney.
Well, you're an enabler at this point if you're defending her and her behavior. And let me just add this in the words of a very, very smart woman that I know.
Close your leg, bitch!
Yes.
Yeah!
Exactly.
That's right.
The answer.
There is that.
New York Post also says that on Britney's 26th birthday party on Saturday night, she borrowed Paris Hilton's cell phone to call her ex-husband Kevin Federline and beg him to come to the party.
That's right.
But he shunned the offer because he said, no, I'm going to stay home with the kids. I've got the kids this weekend.
And she said, what kids?
So there you go.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times. Looking forward to Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
nothing says Christmas like a barber that's
Kevin
cutting people's
heads
off.
Loves him some musicals. He cannot get enough music. He knows the entire Sondheim pantheon.
I don't know.
What's your
about
favorite
that.
Sondheim show other than Sweeney Todd?
I don't know
Todd,
anything about Kev. That. I've seen
what
the,
is your favorite?
I've seen the commercial for the movie. That's
like
all I know. Son?
Little Night Music? What really? What's your Sondheim? What really? Follies? What really does it for you?
I'm too sexy.
Sondheim. I'm too sexy.
Basically,
Kevin's
that's
more of a Sunday in the Park with George kind yeah, of guy. Yeah, oh, that's good. Everyone likes
I
that
I just saw
one.
The commercial for it. It looks awesome.
Yeah, he plays a murderous barber. In the film, Helena Bonham Carter plays his girlfriend slash co-killer. And in the January issue of Playboy, she says, if you watch the film carefully, you'll notice that her cans change size throughout the film.
What?
Apparently, she became pregnant halfway through the shoot, and the movie was not filmed in chronological order. So you will see her go from... tangerines to melons and then back again, more or less. So watch her amazing changing breasts while you're watching the film. A little something, a little Easter egg for you while you're enjoying the movie.
A little side project.
Check that out.
I like
why don't
that.
You?
Okay.
Led Zeppelin's not doing Bonnaroo next year.
What? I'm sorry, wait a minute.
Hold on a sec.
What?
You
I
said
covered
yesterday.
I covered it.
You made a huge deal of it yesterday when you announced Led Zeppelin's only U.S. concert tour was going to stop in at Bonnaroo Festival in Tennessee. That was your announcement yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday,
and,
the promoters for the Bonnaroo Festival said it's not true. They won't be here for me.
I wish that ticket I bought to go was refundable, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I like boobs.
Yeah.
What?
How does that?
Oops,
I don't
too.
Get the tie-in.
Just take the buttons away from Kevin, please.
It's the wrong
forever.
One.
Forever.
What was that?
Forever. Forever.
I labeled that one wrongly.
You labeled it wrongly.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't. There we. Hang on.
Okay.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
That's the one I wanted.
Well, certainly more appropriate
timing.
I wish Kevin could be dumber.
Oh, wow.
My wish was granted.
You did it.
Thank you, Christmas fairy.
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
Kevin, God damn it.
Speaking of wishes, Pete Wentz says he wishes he was gay. Oh, look at that.
Done.
Another Christmas wish is made true. Apparently he told NPR, there's kind of part of me that wishes I was gay.
The homosexual is right.
I would never come out and say I'm gay because I'm not gay.
Right, right.
But there's a part of me that kind of wishes I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Liza Minnelli gay.
I think that comes from anyone constantly wishing they were in the minority and constantly wanting to fight everybody off. Shut up.
He's a total gaylord.
Shut up. Of course, he does wear women's jeans, make out with his bandmates on stage, and wear guyliner, but he is not gay.
You're a homo.
If he's not, he's trying harder than anyone ever has.
He's dating Ashley Simpson. That'll send you straight to dudes. Nothing else will. I know.
Seems kind of gay.
I'd be scraping my knees if I was going out with her. Oh, lordy. Never mind. Give me some of that meat. Give me some meat. Anybody got any meat?
That boy gay in a handbag full of rainbows.
Wish I had some meat. Oh, thank you, Christmas fairy. And lastly, little dribs and drabs. We're getting casting news about the Justice League movie from Warner Brothers. This is going to be a major comic book event with all the big DC superheroes.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Joining together for superhero crime-fighting team. Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Superman and the Flash. And Adam Brody, according to today's LA Times, rumored to be cast as the Flash, the fastest man alive.
Okay.
I like Adam Brody.
Mm-hmm.
How funny that
he played a comic book obsessed character on the OC, and here he is playing a comic book superhero. Supermodel Megan Gale reportedly has been cast as Wonder Woman. Do yourself a favor and Google her. Get some pictures of Australian supermodel Megan Gale. It'll make you feel better.
Plenty of topless, by the way.
Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights, rumored to have been cast as Superman. Okay. And Common, rumored to be playing the Green Lantern, the black one. You know, there's a couple different Green Lanterns.
The black Green Lantern?
There's a black Green Lantern.
All right.
Dark green, I guess we call them. Forest Green Lantern. I don't know. Today's celebrity birthday is Frankie Muniz. He's Malcolm. He was Malcolm.
Yeah.
Is
he still in the middle? Or
he was more or less in the middle.
Okay.
He wasn't the one end or another, I found.
Okay.
He was firmly entrenched in the center.
All right.
22 years old today. Margaret Cho, who calls herself a comedian, is 39 years old today. Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls turns 42. And Little Richard, one of the guys who invented rock and roll as we know it, 75 years old today. Of course, Charles, our security guard, longtime drummer for Richard.
Actually played drums.
Let's all keep it funky now.
Keep it funky and juicy. We got to get Little Richard on the phone. Have those two tell us some stories.
Love that.
Good
Charles
old days of rock and roll.
Charles the best.
He's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, could not be more excited about a film that opens in New York and Los Angeles only today, spreading wide after that. It is called Juno. Probably, wouldn't you say, Lisa, the best-reviewed movie you've seen of the fall season?
Absolutely.
I think, so
no pressure
Absolutely.
There.
And we're no pressure at all. We're very excited to have the screenwriter, Diablo Cody, on the line with us right now. Good morning, Diablo. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted. First of all, I'm very deeply in love with you. I don't even know you, but I'm very deeply in love with everything I've read about you, and it's a thrill to have you on the show. Speaking of the pressure, when your movie is so well-reviewed, it has to seem too good to be true. It's got to be amazing that it gets made, and then when people love it, you just must be over the moon right now.
Oh, it's incredible. I see no downside to it. It was my first screenplay, so the fact that it got made at all was kind of a shock. And then for it to be received like this has been doubly shocking.
First screenplay. Tell people kind of your story about where you worked and how you changed your job and all that stuff.
I have a pretty bizarre backstory for a screenwriter. I actually used to be a stripper, and I had a blog on the internet about stripping and about the sex industry. And one day I got this email from a guy who was like, hey, I'm a manager producer out in Hollywood, and I think you're really funny. You should try writing a movie. And so that was how Juno came about.
And you were writing the movie while a phone sex operator?
Well, at the time that I wrote the movie, I've tried to pinpoint this exactly. I believe I was working during the day as an insurance claims adjuster and supplementing that with phone sex.
Unbelievable. Now, you had already done quite a bit of writing through columns in the paper and a blog and stuff like that, but it's a very different set of skills to write a screenplay. What did you have to do to even learn how to put it in the right format?
You know, I didn't bother to read any of the books because I was kind of superstitious about that and still am. All I did was I went out and I bought some screenplays that I admired and just took a look at them to see kind of how they float on the page.
Oh, that's a good
and
idea.
And how to format them.
What were some of those?
I think the main one I remember buying was Ghost World.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Sure.
It's a movie I still think is pretty cool. So.
It's great. So, in other words, Juno never started out as a book. It was written as a movie.
Yes.
Okay. And then once you, you're done with it and you're happy with it, and then, oh, my God, someone buys it, then do you divorce yourself from it and now it's completely in somebody else's hands? Or did you kind of stay in the process? Were you involved at all in casting or how it got made or anything like that?
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, typically a writer would not be involved. Or if they are, the involvement is minimal. I got very, very lucky because I was working with this amazing director, Jason Reitman, who is a totally generous person and a great collaborator. And so
who
he
did?
Was like, you know, he wanted me along every step of the way, and so I was.
He's the guy that did Thank You for Smoking, right?
One of our favorite
movies.
Yeah, he
did.
That's one of our favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
and tell people we're talking to Diablo Cody about the film Juno, which opens up today at the Arclight in Hollywood, the Grove 14 in L.A., and the Landmark in L.A. Tell people about this unbelievable casting you have in this film too.
All right. It stars Ellen Page. She plays Juno, and she is an incredible young actor from Canada. I guess if people know her, they probably know her from the movie Hard Candy.
Right.
I will never pick her up if I see her hitchhiking. I do know that.
Yeah, I mean, but she's unbelievable. She's Juno. Michael Cera plays Polly Bleeker, her sort of platonic friend that she winds up having sex with,
and
that leads to the whole conundrum.
That guy's pretty much a comic genius as far as I'm concerned.
You know, he is, and we got him, you know, I mean, we filmed this movie almost a year ago, and at the time, like, you know, Michael Cera fever had not gripped the nation.
Right.
Yeah, this was before Superbad.
Until Superbad, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And, he's amazing. We have Jennifer Garner and Jason Bateman playing the sort of adoptive parents of Juno's unborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have J.K. Simmons and Allison Janney playing Juno's parents. And they're you know, obviously great. Yeah, it's a great cast.
What do you think of Hollywood now that you're in it, now that you go to the parties and you go to the film festivals and the screenings and you do all the press? Is it what you imagined it would be when you were living in places like Minnesota?
In some ways it is, in some way it isn't. It's weird. I think people think of Midwesterners as being naive, but I actually think they're hardcore cynics. And so everybody told me, oh, you're going to come to Hollywood and it's going to be this horrible, corrupt place and it won't be what you expected. And honestly, it's been wonderful.
Yeah. But now that the writer's strike is going on, we can find you at the Spearman Rhino, or how does that work exactly?
You know what? I thought about it. I got to find a way to supplement the income. Yeah.
So Juno opens up today. And from what I understand, you already have something like 4 other projects in the works. I mean, you're committed and it sounds like you got yourself a career going here.
I am. I'm really busy. Hopefully I have a career going.
We have a clip. This is Juno, Ellen Page, telling her parents that she's pregnant. And this gives you the kind of, I don't know, it's unique dialogue that kind of sounds like it's not made by all the other movie makers, mm-hmm. which is really unique. This is her breaking the news.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it up for adoption. What, 30 or odd weeks? We can just pretend that this never happened.
You're pregnant?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And if it is any consolation, I have heartburn that is radiating my kneecaps. And I haven't taken a dump since Wednesday morning.
Oh.
Wow.
That was an interesting clip.
Yeah.
The film looks amazing. And it is called Juno. And let me give the theaters again so people can check it out. See it before your friends at the Arclight in Hollywood and in L.A. at the Grove 14 or at the Landmark. Diablo, awesome to talk to you. I hope we get a chance to do it again soon. And congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye now. Our little concerts are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. And we have pit tickets for both nights.
Dude. And it's so easy to win, right?
Well, it's not one of our easier. It's not the hardest game in the world,
okay.
And yet it does count on two Mexicans. So what are you going to do? You know what I'm talking
right.
about?
Sure.
It's time for Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
Thank you, gentlemen. We need to.
Okay.
Dave.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Gentlemen? Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, top of the morning to you.
Orchestra de la Rosa.
Chip, chip, cheerio.
What are the names you're going by today, gentlemen?
I am Count von Mistletoe.
Okay.
I am Sheldon Vanderbeek.
Okay. All right. Can you guys explain to the K-Rock listeners how they're going to need to identify and how to win?
We are going to be doing renditions of K-Rock songs from artists on the Acoustic Christmas, either night one or night two, but we're going to be doing them with our mouths.
Bum, bum, bum. And only with their mouths. So they're going to sing the instrumental parts of these songs in
correct.
Most cases.
Okay. Correct.
And you just have to tell us what band and what song.
It should be simple.
All right, here we go. Okay. Well, depending on how good you guys are.
We're the best.
All right, let's start with Shane in Redlands. Good morning, Shane.
Hey, good morning.
So what you're saying, Count, is if the listener doesn't get it, it's their fault. It's not your fault because you guys are flawless.
We are so good, it's almost like the bands themselves.
Okay. All right, Shane, so listen up. The boys are going to do a song that will be played this weekend at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Just with their mouths, you have to tell us title and artist. You are contestant number one. Listen up.
All right.
What do you think there, Shaney?
Oh, I have no clue.
Oh, I hate that, you.
Oh, really? You don't have any clue?
No.
Oh, that was pretty good, by the way.
That was. That was Paramore. Misery Business is what we were looking for there, Shane. I'm
thank
sorry.
You
are not going to go into drawing to win the tickets. Perhaps Yvette from Van Nuys is. She's on line two. Yvette, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your song?
Yes.
Listen up.
All right.
Okay. That's enough. Thank you, boys. Yvette.
Boy, I sure hope someone's alarm went off right then.
Oh,
Yvette, what song was that? That was also pretty close to the original.
I knew the last one. Search Taken.
Yeah, we were looking for Muse, Knights of Sidonia this time. I'm sorry, you are not in the drawing either. By the way, thank God this show is free. Can you imagine if we tried to charge people for this crap?
I'd like to say, though, that Paramore and Muse, the first two, were not the problems of the Count or Sheldon. I believe
thank you.
I agree.
Thank you.
It was a listener problem.
I think you're right.
All right, let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, guys. What's up?
Are you ready?
You ready.
Orchestra de la Rosa.
That is not the tiniest bit annoying. Robert, what do you think? Title and artist.
I'm looking at the answer and I wouldn't get it. Robert, take
we
a guess.
We need a guess, though, Bob.
Somebody from this.
Fight!
Fight! Yeah.
That's one of the best guesses ever.
You know, it's not Feist as much as it is Linkin Park.
That's what we're looking for. One step closer by Linkin Park. All right, guys, I hate to say this, but we're in sudden death already now.
Already?
We're at the point. Yes, I'm sorry to say, looking at the clock, the first person who identifies this song from the Orchestra de la Rosa will win pit tickets for both nights.
It's all worth it for that answer.
I almost think we should have given it to the last guy for guessing Feist.
Feist was a great guess.
Katie in Monrovia, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Pit tickets for both nights. You get to go both nights if you get it correct.
Now, right. Katie, let me ask you this. You've had the benefit of not going first. You've heard a few other contestants try and fail. How have you been doing with the songs we've done so far?
Crappy.
Yep. Okay. All right. Good luck to you.
It's good to know because the first and the second one were the easiest ones of the game. So here we go. Orchestra de la Rosa. That's pretty simple.
Like the band is right here, isn't it? Katie, I'm telling you, if you don't get this, you're
right,
never going to be allowed to listen to our show again.
All
I'm
right,
sorry.
Guys. Okay. Orchestra. Hey, orchestra.
Guys, got it. Thank you. Thank you. Let's
count.
Let the player. Katie, what do you got?
I'm in between two. Is it the Shins?
It is.
It is. Title and artist. What's it called?
I can't think of it.
Please.
Oh, Katie. This is why no one likes you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's the Shins' New Slang.
New Slang is the song. Again, the Orchestra de la Raza, by the way, very nice job.
Thank you. Very well done. Yeah, you're right.
Right on.
All right, we're in sudden death. If Joel in Glendale is able to come up with title and artist, he'll win the tickets in the pit. Joel, good morning.
Give an easy one. You get the one that's next, my friend.
Yeah, whatever's next. Here we go.
Orchestra de la Raza.
All right. Hey, Rush, stand by. Thank you very much. Joel, they did a pretty good job with that. What's the title and artist to win the tickets?
Is it Surge?
We got to get some people who have heard the station on the line to maybe play the game.
How did you not get that one?
Bean, please. Like, these guys are doing a good job with this. Seriously. All right. Let's go to Johnny in Palmdale.
Good morning, guys.
Are you ready for Orchestra de la Raza?
I'm ready.
No more drawing. If you get it, you win pit tickets both nights.
All right.
If nobody gets them, we're hanging on to the pit tickets. We're not just going to give them away because you tried, people.
Right.
All right, here you go. Orchestra de la Raza.
Hey, ran out of steam there.
Sheldon, it sounded like you were going to keep going.
Religion infected.
Yes! Out both nights in the pit. Way to go, dude.
Nicely done.
Thank you, guys.
Johnny, we will see you Saturday night in the pit and Sunday night in the pit.
In the pit?
You hung up on me on Monday, Kevin.
I made the right call then, but I'm glad you made it today. Congratulations. We'll see you both nights.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you for playing the game.
We are El Orchestra de la Raza.
Ralph's got a boyfriend. Ralph's in love.
You know what? You have to take
Ralph's
something.
Ralph's got a man crush.
You have to take something wonderful and make it all dirty and sweaty the way you two always do.
Well, that's being specialty.
I'm just a huge fan of our next guest because he's a brilliantly talented actor, and he's, in my opinion, the best new show of the new TV season. I've been obsessed with it since the first episode. I've been watching all season long, and it's just an amazingly well-done television
show. You weren't impressed with me when I was in the Royal Shakespeare Company.
No, I wasn't. No.
Oh, right. We are, of course, talking about Life, which ends tonight for the season at 10 o'clock on NBC, and we're very excited to welcome the star of the show, Damian Lewis, on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
Hey, morning, guys. Ralph, I'm not wearing tights. I want to make that clear. You're not?
Oh, I wish you were.
Way to ruin it for him, man.
You know, Damian, I'm sure there's nothing I can tell you that you haven't heard from a bunch of people before, but I've heard great things about your show. This is Bean speaking. It's one that I have not carved out time to include on my schedule, and now I'm regretting it because especially in the last few weeks as you've been hurtling toward the season finale tonight, Ralph has just been raving like crazy about it.
Well, that's great. I think it's a great show too, and loving doing it. And you got this dual concept running through. We have, you know, the crime each week that the cops will solve, but you have this ongoing conspiracy story about why did Charlie Cruz get sent away for life, and you know, who set him up, and just how high is this corruption going to go?
Did you say a Jew concept each week?
Jewel.
I think he said Jewel. Okay, good. Kevin, I was just afraid. I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing that, like, a lot of cop shows, you do have to solve a crime each week, but this, the second story of Charlie trying to find out who set him up and what caused him to be sent away for prison really is compelling television. But I think on top of all of it, Damian, the character of Charlie Cruz is unlike anything we've seen on television before.
Yeah, I hope so. That was the intention. You know, I think Rand Ravitch and Far Chariot, the creators of the show, wanted to, you know, there's a little retro feel to it. You know, they wanted the fun of those Private Dick shows, the Magnums and, you know, the Hunters, the Rockford Files, you know, the Kojaks, where you really
fall in love with that central character and want to know what he's doing and want to know about his life and little get inside his head a little bit into his emotional life and just enjoy coming back to him each week. And so it's got that element of those really entertaining private eye shows along with the procedural drama and then along with this conspiracy, which is really basically runs like a thriller. So it's kind of operating on those three different levels.
Now, how long does your character, Charlie Cruz, how long is he in jail for the murder he did not commit?
Well, he was sent away for life. He gets exonerated after 12 years. They find new DNA evidence, and they get him
12 years.
Like, okay. That would ever happen
spends
for real, 12 by the
years
way.
In prison. He's a cop, he's a cop behind bars, which isn't good.
That's, yeah,
not,
that's tough.
It's not
that's
fun
tough.
That way, I don't imagine, yeah. No. But when you come out after 12 years for a crime you didn't commit, I guess you've got one of two ways you can go. You can either be bitter and your life is ruined because you'll never get back that time, or you can say, wow, have I been given a blessing? Wow, do I have a second chance at life and really enjoy it? Which direction does your character go?
Well, it's carpe diem for him. It's all about seizing the day. It's, you know, he retains or develops a childlike quality towards life and towards the world. It's almost as though his senses have been so well tuned and honed in the prison yard just in order to stay alive that his five senses are now so intensified that he even has developed a sixth sense in the way that he's able just to intuit things around him daily. And it's all about having been inside for 12 years and now being released and, if you like, reborn into this incredible world. And he sees it like a child again, and he just wants to live every moment as intensely as he can.
And Charlie's also fascinated by the Zen, Zen Buddhism, a way of looking at life where everything is sort of in the here and now. He's constantly banging an endless stream of anonymous hot chicks, which I find I applaud.
Well, all right then.
He's got a huge settlement from the city because he was falsely in prison. So he's rich beyond avarice. He's got no problems there. And we've got a clip of the show, actually, Damien, where you're talking to your partner Reese, and you're talking about speaking of Zen, about reincarnation and what you'd like to come back as.
What would you come back as? Reincarnation. Don't limit yourself. You can choose an animal.
This one time should be plenty. Thank you.
I'd like to come back as a giant Flemish rabbit, 15 pounds of pure bunny, or a whale. Can you imagine being a whale thousands of feet underwater? Can you imagine that?
Is it quiet down there?
Is it quiet down there? Damien, I asked Ralph when he brought up the interview that we were going to do today with you. I asked him yesterday, is it too late for me to get on board with season one of Life? Now that part two of the season finale is tonight. And he said maybe it was, but but you're coming back when? When will we see new episodes of Life after tonight?
Well, that's in the hands of the writers and the producers. Hopefully, we can have something up and running again in January. We'll wait to see.
I would hope so, too. Okay. It seems like the most difficult thing in the world is to start a new show, but then to get interrupted by a writer's strike in the first season, I mean, that's rough.
Damien, I have to ask you, we've asked this of other British actors working in American television like Hugh Laurie, Owen House, and Michelle Ryan over Bionic Woman. Your performance in the show is just amazing. Is it difficult for you to give such a well-rounded performance and also have to concern yourself with doing the American accent?
I've been asked to play a lot of Americans since I did Band of Brothers, and I find it easier and easier. And in fact, I stay in as an American all day. I go to work and I consider myself an American, and I it would be too difficult for me to switch in and out of the accent and distracting to other people. And so I have to think about it, but I think about it less and less. And I really am starting to develop an American persona. It's kind of weird. I got into an argument with someone the other day. Usually you go straight back to your English accent, but I've just plowed on in my American accent.
You're going to lose it. Your family's going to disown you.
Hey, do we have time for Lisa to show her British accent?
No,
because she goes the other way really well.
We don't have time.
Lisa, just give him a humor for a second.
It's not safe for a girl on the south side.
There you go. Come on.
It's uncanny.
Well, I see a guest spot on Life for you is what I see, Lisa.
I love this show. It's awesome. Well,
Damien, you couldn't have bigger supporters in Ralph and Lisa on Life, and it just goes to show you how little we value their opinion that neither Kevin or I have watched yet. I'm telling you, for next year, for 2008, I'm committing. I'm getting on board with you, dude. It sounds like an awesome show.
Thank you, man. Don't miss it.
Thank you very much. Thanks, tonight Damian. At 10 o'clock on NBC Life. Thank you very much, Damien.
LaQuisha joins us after the news at 9, talking about the latest episode of the Tila Tequila Show, which, by the way, has been on since I was a little kid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, remember when it debuted? Yeah. I can't imagine living in a world without a tequila lesbian show. I don't know what I would do.
They had to narrow down from 4,000 contestants.
It was like Rudolph last night. I said, wow, you know, this tequila thing really is an institution. It's just been around forever. It means so much to people.
And now grandparents are watching it with their kids, and sure. It's really kind of emotional. But anyway, she's got a review of the latest episode from this week, and we'll have that coming up for you after the news. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Did you watch Rudolph last night? Did you catch Rudolph?
No,
I did not.
How do you not watch it when it's on?
Seen it.
You've got to watch it again. You
I know, but I've watched it.
But you have to watch it again when it's on.
I watch those on DVD because I own them.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. A lot of people do because Rudolph is still, you know, Grinch. All the big Christmas specials are available on DVD. But when I was a kid, and there's something to be said for this, I think. When I was a kid, that wasn't the case.
It was just on home TV. Video. Right.
And it was such an event. When you saw in the paper that Rudolph was going to be on Wednesday night, you looked forward to that all night long, and you got in your jammies, and you got your milk and cookies, and you sat in front of television. And it was a holiday event when that aired.
But they have to clean up the language so much for TV. On the DVD, you get the unrated versions.
Raw, uncut Rudolph. Yeah. And now when you can just watch whatever you want, it just takes the specialness out of it, I think. So I make a point of watching it when it's on TV.
Okay.
That's a choice. It becomes a little marker for the season for me. Wow, Christmas has begun. UConn Cornelius has fallen off the edge with the abominable snow monster.
Again?
Yes.
Wow.
But
he doesn't die. I saw that coming.
He doesn't die.
That happened last year.
Because Bumbles bounce!
Love that.
So you're going to write a strongly worded letter to complain about the fact that it's available on DVD and that people shouldn't watch it? Or?
No, not at all. I'm not going to blog about it. I'm not going to write a letter. I'm just going to say, and share a thought, and then just move on.
And move on.
Go back to life.
Yeah.
Just try it sometime, Bean. It's fascinating.
Never heard of it.
What's worse than watching Paul Abdul on television?
Or better.
Yeah, better, definitely.
How about working with Paul Abdul on television?
Oh, yes. I've heard stories.
In the January issue of Playboy magazine, they interviewed Tina Fey, who, of course, was the head writer for Saturday Night Live for many years. And she says that Paul Abdul's guest stint on the show, when she hosted SNL in 2005, was awful and disastrous. She also said she recently ran into Paul Abdul, and Tina says she could tell by the look on Paula's face that she had a horrible time doing the show as well. So it was bad all the way around. But I can imagine having Paul Abdul trying to do comedy with her and writing sketches and stuff.
Well, Tina Fey is, you know, incredibly smart. There are no possible way she has time for Paul Abdul.
Here's the problem, amongst the many problems with Saturday Night Live, besides the fact it's not funny anymore. They now just sometimes stunt cast for stunt casting's sake. Used to be Saturday Night Live would bring in funny people to do sketches. Your Tom Hankses, your Steve Martins, those kind of people who are really good on the show. Alec Baldwin was always a great host.
Right.
But now they'll just bring people on, like a Paula Abdul, to host just because she's popular on the American Idol show, when you know there's no chance in hell she's going to make the show funny or any better.
Yeah, that's true.
Occasionally it works out. Once in a while you get like a Peyton Manning where things actually pan out, but more often than not, it's just not a good idea.
You know what I find is that if you don't watch it, you're not disappointed.
This is true, too.
That's what I find.
It's also been my experience.
What about their hilarious choice on one of the final shows before the strike to have NBC News anchor Brian Williams as the host?
See, this is
a good
what
move?
I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Come on now, people. Ah, sad news. Miss California USA competition.
Uh-oh.
Apparently the wrong woman was presented with the crown.
During the pageant?
Yes.
On stage?
Yes.
Oops, sorry.
It was discovered that an accounting error backstage caused the wrong woman to be named the winner when they tallied up the votes.
Did they
freaking
take it away?
Ernst & Young?
Yes. They had to take it away and then give it to the runner-up.
Did they film that?
I don't know, but I'd like to know if it is a TV show where I can watch it.
That's the best.
We should have done that at ours. It would have been so funny.
Just Kevin kidding.
Said, oops, sorry. We counted wrong. Please give us back the crown.
It was funny. We didn't have a chance to mention it on Friday at the Miss Double December pageant and coronation, but when Ralph announced the top three finalists of the nine girls who were up on stage, it was very, very noisy. It was just chaotic at that time.
And everybody was so loaded.
Yeah. Not all the girls could hear. So everybody's like turning and walking off stage, including Cassidy, who ended up being the winner, by the way. And she's bawling her eyes out because she thinks it's over and she's lost.
Kevin's like, she's leaving. She's leaving.
I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out.
What do you want me to do?
You just said her name. Why is she walking down?
She didn't hear you, though. It was just so funny. But this would have been the worst, though, to give them the crown and the scepter and the flowers and the song and then go, oh, wait, recount.
It'd be better if it happens way after the pageant, so the woman's at home and there's a knock on the door. Hi, we're here with the pageant. We need that crown back.
With hidden cameras.
You're not wrong. You're just maybe less than right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Led Zeppelin will not be at Bonnaroo. And whoa! Dennis Quaid.
Whoa! Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that heads up. Thanks for getting me all excited yesterday.
I think yesterday, each hour, Ralph presented the fantastic news that Led Zeppelin was going to be playing in Tennessee next year in the United States.
It's going to be their U.S. appearance for
Bonnaroo
the reunion.
Festival.
For the reunited Led Zeppelin. And apparently the producers of that event say that's not the case. Zeppelin will not be playing next year.
They didn't change their minds as much as you were never right.
I was never right.
Okay. No.
So you're a lying liar who lies, then, basically.
Quite often.
All right.
Okay.
And actor Dennis Quaid and his wife have filed a lawsuit after their newborn twins were accidentally overdosed at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center last month.
Oh, no.
Apparently, the kids are okay now, but while they were in the hospital, they were overdosed with a drug called heparin, which is a blood thinner. And now they're suing Baxter Healthcare, the company that manufactures the drug. The Quaids claim that the labels on the vials of the drug aren't printed clearly enough for medical workers to tell the difference between the small 10-unit dose and the massive 10,000-unit dose.
You can't tell the difference between 10 and 10,000? How small is the writing?
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm still surprised they're not suing the hospital just because the hospital had run into this problem previously. They should have gone to extraordinary lengths to make sure that they were double-checking the dosage.
Three other infants died because of this same mix-up in other cases.
Wow.
So the Quaids are currently suing Baxter Healthcare. They wanted to sue Cedars-Sinai, but when they heard the company's name Baxter, they just felt compelled to sue them instead because everyone hates a Baxter.
All Baxters are bad.
All Baxters
remember
are
that
bad.
Movie, The Baxter?
Oh, I do.
The Baxter?
The Baxter, that's what it was called. Yeah. It became a euphemism for a loser with women.
That's correct.
The Baxter. How do we not have drops from that, by the way? I'd like to know why we're not playing those every day.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Baxter, let the dog and pony show continue.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthday is Little Richard, one of the originators of rock and roll. He's 75 years old today. If you don't believe me, just ask him. He'll tell you.
He will tell you.
He sure will.
He invented rock and roll.
He loves him.
Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls is 42 years old today, and Frankie Muniz is... who is Malcolm in the Middle, turned 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's Bush.
LaQuisha, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
How are you, my friend?
I'm sad.
You're sad?
Sad? Why?
Because Shot at Love with Tila Tequila is winding down.
Oh, yeah. You pretty much spent your life with Tila, huh?
We're coming to the end. I feel like I'm losing my best friend.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. Who's retarded and ugly.
Now, she's still no prize, but for some reason, these contestants on the show, Shot at Love, are still trying to win a date with her, right?
More than ever. They're all, like, in love with her and whatnot.
Yeah, great.
They're fighting harder than ever to stay on the show and to be with her. In this episode, there's only three people left. You got Amanda, the freakishly, surgically enhanced lipstick lesbian.
Right.
You got Danny, who is a girl. Barely.
Right.
Firefighter girl. And you got Bobby, who is the only guy left in the game.
All right.
And Tila announces that she's going to take them all to Mexico. They're all going to Cancun for a little vacation, get to know each other a little better.
All right.
And Amanda's very happy.
Oh, my God, we're going to Mexico. You guys are so excited.
To Mexico? Here we come. Get ready, bitches. It's on.
What's on?
Get ready, bitches.
You're not invading Mexico. You're going for a vacation.
It's on.
It's not on.
It's
just
on.
Relax. Just relax and go. When they get there, Tila Tequila toasts her three competitors as only she can do.
Let's have a toast.
Wait.
To all of us in Cancun having a blast and a shot of love.
Shot
of love.
I'd like to take a shot of bullet. Put it in her brain.
That was well said.
Thank you. Sometimes Kevin's contagious.
You listen to me too much, don't you?
I think I do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tila's talking about how close she's gotten to everyone now at this point because she went home with them all, met their families.
Right.
And especially she thinks she's learned the most about Amanda because she got to see what she was really like around her family.
And Amanda, when I visited you at your house, I learned so much more about you, and you're really compassionate, and you're not just like,
Yeah.
She's not, oh, okay.
She's not like what? Okay.
She's been hanging around Kevin too long, too, I think.
I've never met her.
Inarticulate. While they're in Cancun, they have some group activities that they all do together, and then Tila takes each of the three final competitors and has an alone time overnight date with them.
Okay.
Which, means she just has sex with them.
Sure.
But one of the activities they do is they go swimming with the dolphins.
Okay.
And everybody's a little too excited about this, I think. Nobody more than Tila Tequila.
It was like such a rush. It's like an orgasm. Underwater.
What?
Shut up, Tila Tequila.
Swimming with a dolphin is like an orgasm underwater?
Yes. Everything's like an orgasm for this girl.
Are we sure that the dolphin wasn't getting amorous?
Maybe.
Okay.
Because Amanda, she got pushed through the water by the dolphin, and I think it had a little sexual effect on her.
That dolphin push was the most action I've gotten in a long time.
There you go.
Your stuff about dolphins.
That's right. They had having sex with the... They should have shot at love with Flipper the dolphin.
I'm putting dolphin push on my euphemism list.
I think you should. Meanwhile, Amanda in her one-on-one time starts talking down the other two competitors. Which is not the right thing to do, I think.
Oh.
You shouldn't be talking people down. You should be talking yourself up. But she says to Tila that the other two aren't on the level with her because they haven't gone through the same life experiences and they are not where Tila is in her life.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're already there. And neither of them are already there.
And you're totally there.
I'm, like, right there with you.
And by there, they mean the clinic, the STD clinic. That's where she is right there with her.
How was she talking about?
I have no idea. It even gets worse when Amanda and Tila get into the hot tub and they start role-playing and Tila asks her to make some dolphin noises.
Make mama some dolphin noises.
I tell you, they like that dolphin sex.
What the hell's going on?
And Bobby, he is so upset about the fact that he's got to sit in the room alone while Amanda's having that date with Tila Tequila.
Sure.
Bobby was a little upset and sad last night that Amanda got to have an overnight stay with Tila.
Bobby was so upset he started talking about himself in the third person again.
Listen, people, don't call yourself by your first name like you're someone else, you a-holes.
Stop saying Bobby wants to do this when you are Bobby.
You can say I.
And when you're in a dating competition, do not dress up as a woman if you're a man. Because Amanda and Bobby were hanging out together while Danny was on a one-on-one date with Tequila. And this is what they started doing.
We have to keep our minds off of it somehow. So I decide that we need to play dress up.
Bad idea, Bobby.
What?
Amanda's going to dress up Bobby like a woman. That's how they're going to pass the time.
Okay.
Bobby's got the minute he puts on a dress, he starts thinking like a woman.
This dress makes me look like I got a big ass.
Yeah.
I look like I got a big ass.
Look at my big ass in this dress. And Bobby was a little too pleased with how he looked in a dress.
Uh-oh.
It was like your perfect transvestite prostitute because you could see my package popping out a little bit in the dress.
How is that a good thing?
What the hell? That's not a perfect prostitute.
I'm thinking, man, he's in trouble. And then I thought, wait a minute. This is a dating show about a woman who likes men and women.
That's true.
That might be brilliant strategy on his part. Dress all up like an ugly broad with a penis hanging out. Maybe he'd do good that way. Well, at the end of the day, it turns out that Amanda was the one who was eliminated from the house, leaving just Danny and Bobby behind. A guy and a girl who looks like a guy. And the girl who looked like a girl but actually liked the other girls, well, she was asked to leave.
Aww.
And, well, as you can imagine, she was pretty broken up about it. But luckily, she has the emotional tools to handle it.
I put myself out there. And when you've been to, like, hard places in your life, you learn how to cut yourself off emotionally. And it works, and it makes you survive, you know.
Yes, you've really learned to distance yourself from your emotions, obviously, as you dissolve into a puddle of tears over a reality TV show.
She understands she wasn't just given the cancer diagnosis, right? She's just being kicked off a game show.
She's still got big fake boobs. She should be happy. She should move on. Well, in 2 weeks, we're going to find out
Tila Tequila
picks between Danny and Bobby.
Did you say 2 weeks?
I did. So, sadly, I got to say goodbye for 2007. You won't be hearing from me no more.
Two weeks?
Oh, that's the worst news ever, LaQuisha. I'm sorry.
You guys are on vacation, and we won't know who Tila picks.
I will not be able to rest. Can you come over to my house and watch it with me?
I will. I may I put it in my greeting card or my Christmas card in my letter that I make every year. My Christmas card letter.
You know what? We don't need the full letter this
year. What happened all year long.
Don't need the full letter.
And at the end, I'll just put in who Tila chose.
Just put that. Don't need the whole letter with all the details.
I'll tell you the whole letter. It's about 8 pages this year.
Yeah, don't need it. Thank you, though, LaQuisha.
In January, I got a new chair at the Afro-Roman Empire. That's how it's going to start.
Okay, good. Thank you, LaQuisha.
Bye now. Bye now.
It's time to take your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Let's all keep it funky now.
Well, we're going to try 1-800-520-1067. As usual, that is the toll-free number to get through here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It's What It Do, Nephew. You get on the air, we give you a prize. And today, I love this. It's 50 songs on iTunes for free. That's a great prize right there.
All right, let's begin with Bobby. We have been getting this question a bunch, and it's very surprising considering how public we made this. But Bobby, go ahead. What's your deal?
Good morning, baby boo, nephew. What It Do?
Sorry, I threw you off. I said what's your deal. That's all my bad.
Hi, yes. Bobby.
What It Do,
what
nephew?
What It Do, nephew?
That's what I should have said, Bobby.
I'm a bit disappointed. It's December 5th, and there's no Christmas CD.
What? Yeah. You know, it's weird. I heard that, too, but we made such a huge deal out of it. It sold out.
We sold out, man.
Really?
No. Stop.
Really quickly, and we were saying, what?
You guys need to get it out.
It's been out.
You're not hearing us, dude.
It came and went. Went to Best Buy, and then boom, gone.
We only made it. Why did you come to one of our live appearances last week when we were signing copies for 4 hours? Why weren't you there?
No, I was there. You guys didn't have any.
You were where?
You were where?
I'm just saying, early, you have enough time, get on it.
It's been out. It's sold out, we're telling you.
How many of them a year would you like us to make you happy, Bobby?
This year's CD has already been out and sold out.
No.
Nope. Try eBay.
Bobby went to the Kevin School of Arguing, apparently. Okay. I like that.
Nope. That's insane.
Just because you missed it doesn't mean we didn't release it.
All right. Let's go to Jason.
Why don't you just call up NBC and complain that Heroes wasn't on Monday night? Why don't you just do that?
JC, good morning.
What It Do, nephew?
What it do?
Baby Boo.
Hello.
What's going on?
Call about the MySpace page for Kevin and Bean, K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
People on Friday for the Miss Double December, they were complaining, bitching that Chanel didn't win.
Oh, I know.
Demanding a recount.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
I know.
Christy comes on saying, I'll post about my experience later when I'm cooled off.
Yeah.
All right. There was a lot of backstage drama with certain people at the event.
Yeah. But I want to make something very clear to you, JC, and I'm very glad that you called. I'm very glad you brought this up. We don't have anything to do with the Kevin and Bean MySpace page. Just so you know, I've never been on it. Kevin's never been on it. Ralph's never been on it. I mean, that's totally a fan-driven thing. So you got to take what you see on there with a grain of salt. It does not represent the Kevin and Bean show.
Although Mike does troll it for his own name.
Sure, well, he loves to read about him.
That happens.
Yeah.
And there was a certain amount of drama backstage with some of the Miss former Double Ds and some of the current contestants and some of the alliances there. And it did get a little ugly and got a little bit out of hand. And I do feel bad about that because we love Cassidy and we think she's a fantastic choice. And some of the things you've heard about
us. All right, good.
Hold on. Yeah, she was the winner. But thank you for the call. But I'm glad you called and brought that up because that's not us. That's just fans.
There was a certain faction that wouldn't have been happy with anybody other than Chanel winning that contest.
Of course.
So. Yeah. You know, take that for what it's worth.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jeff.
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Jeff.
Want to call, see what's up. All these celebrities been dying this past week, man.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Singer for Quiet Riot, what Sean Taylor, the inventor for Gatorade, and yesterday Pimp C from UGK.
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
All these huge dying celebrities going away.
Yeah, man, I'm thinking dying's in your rehab, man. I think Britney, you know, Lindsay, they're on next, man.
Okay.
You know? And,
well, I don't know where to go with the celeb dying comedy.
I just wanted to point it out there and saying that, Clippers blow.
Yeah. Clippers blow. Okay, that's the most important thing that you've said.
Supersonic blow.
All right, good. Great. Excellent.
All that good stuff.
You're right on that.
Hey, Santa Monica, while you're at it? What are we, a cable access show? Is somebody randomly calling in saying crap?
Clippers at least will win tonight because they are in Seattle playing the Supersonics, who have the worst team in the NBA.
At least they can
count on a win. I never have bought the celebrities dying threes. I think that's stupid because I think it depends on when you start and stop counting. They're dying all the time, but it does seem like this week there has been a little bit of a rash of famous people. He's right about that.
Okay.
Bean thinks that's stupid, but when they change the sign on the Big Gulp machine, that's a major
event. It's an outrage.
Well, that impacts
the word
my
he
life.
Uses is
I don't
outrage.
Bean say anything anymore about anything is stupid. After reading his blog, he can no longer say anything is stupid or meaningless.
I'm with you.
All right.
Chucky in Costa Mesa. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what it do?
Lisa May.
Hey, yeah. Chucky.
Hey, I wanted to find out whatever happened to the go get the Christmas tree from Antarctica and on the freak bus. You guys didn't do that.
We got it already.
On the freak
we
bus?
We got it this year already.
They arrived yesterday. You didn't hear that?
Where have you been?
You what? Send Tad out to go get the
yes,
that's
he
who
went
this year. We brought Tad back and we sent him out.
Holy smokes, I never heard anything.
Why don't you listen, dude?
You missed it.
So you people don't listen, then you call and ask us why we're not doing something.
Complaining about stuff we've already done.
That's way frustrating.
What about that show last week where we gave a $5,000 check to every listener? What about that? I suppose people didn't see or hear that either, right?
Yeah. You people, you're ingrates. That's what you are, you're ingrates. Yeah. We give and we give.
Let's close with David out in Riverside. He's on line 7.
And we pay all your bills.
Pay your bills.
That's right.
It's Kevin Abed's What It Do, Nephew. Hi, Dave. You're the final call of the day, so make it good.
What It Do, Nephew?
What It Do.
What It Do.
What It Do, Baby Boo.
Hi.
Hey, did you guys watch the Victoria's Secret lingerie show last night? Oh, we're talking scandalous.
Is it scandalous?
Scandalous.
Sad girl? Too hot for TV, boy. We're talking Spank City big time.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Did you say Spank City or Skank City?
No, not Skank City.
Okay.
Spank City.
I'm checking. I don't know.
Some of those Victoria's Secret models are too hot to be real and too hot to live, and they make you very uncomfortable to look at.
Oh, not me, boy.
Uncomfortable? Really?
Yes.
Oh, let me tell you, it was too hot.
Right, but you were not for a second uncomfortable looking at them, were you?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Yeah, that would just be Bean.
I'm just saying my pants get too tight. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that hasn't happened in a long time. All right.
I'm just saying.
All right.
I have that TiVo, but I can't watch that show in real time because I need to watch it in slow motion only. It takes me like 4 hours to get through the Victoria's Secret show.
I don't really want to.
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean
I bet you can't get a boner.
Right. I agree.
Screenwriter Diablo Cody. The movie is called Juno. It opens up today at the Arclight in Hollywood, also the Grove 14 in L.A. and the Landmark in L.A. Great, great, great reviews for this film, again, called Juno. You should check it out. Thanks to Ralph's boyfriend Damian Lewis for joining us. Not too late to jump on board the Life bandwagon with its final episode of the year tonight at 10 o'clock on NBC.
I think he finds the guy who framed him tonight.
Really?
Really?
Oh, does he break him off?
Well, this is like the third episode, right? Because of the writer's strike. This is their season finale, episode 3.
No, this is the 20th episode.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have the holiday parties gone awry. Every year we have to do this.
You can try and beat our stories.
We have some good ones.
Are you guys going this year?
Of course not. I think we're going to come up with the top 5 things that have happened at K-Rock Christmas parties and just dare anyone to beat them.
You guys never go. You should come.
I said I'm going to come.
Come with me this year. We'll have fun.
All right.
Ralph, do you still go every year?
I do, yeah.
We stopped going because they were so bad, but now I understand that they're actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I think it's good just to check in with the gang from the station. We don't get to see them much because we work early in the morning, and then they come in as we're leaving, so it's nice just to hang out.
I do, too. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm going out of town.
Oh,
which
sure.
Which is why
I don't like seeing Mr. Weatherby. That guy gives me the creeps.
Which is also why I came at your party, Ralph. Sorry.
You're not coming to my party?
No, I apologize, because I'm going to be out of town.
Bastard.
I know, I'm going to be out of town, though.
At least you gave me a heads up. Lisa comes to me and goes, you didn't invite me to the party. Where's my invitation? I said, oh, I'm sorry. At least I thought I sent it to you. So I mail her the e-bite. Then she goes, oh, I can't make it.
I didn't know when it was.
Screw you.
I didn't know
when it
was.
About not getting the invitation and then shut me down. She wanted the invitation just to deny me.
Kudos, Lisa.
I didn't know when it was.
Here it is.
That's well done.
I'm not coming.
Can't come.
Yeah. He said he sent it to me. He didn't send it.
That's all right. Ask him again.
Yeah.
Tell him you're not sure what
he sent it to. He sent it the second time.
Ask him to send it again because you're not positive and then deny him again. That's the way to go. I don't know if you've seen this story, but instead of Alcoholics Anonymous, they're saying maybe controlled drinking.
That's what I've been saying for years.
Is now what alcoholics should try to
practice. Hey, alcoholics, just cut back. That's what I've been saying.
Some is okay.
Just don't get too loaded. Got weak people like Psycho Mike who just don't know when to say when.
That's right.
That's
plus, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to do something that previously was thought impossible, and that is we're going to prove the existence of God.
Oh, good.
Yay!
Just in time for the new year.
How are we going to do that?
With a banana. Oh. And tomorrow morning, we have the K-Rock Street Team members. We're going to give away tickets for the Acoustic Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have pit tickets for both nights.
In the pit?
One winner, both nights pit tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Pretty sweet. Cat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Queens of the Stone Age, also Linkin Park, The Offspring, new one from Bad Religion, Straight Ahead, Surge Tanky, and of course, and Incubus, all right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.